Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Trick Williams to my Carmelo Hayes, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
You better not desert me in a haunted house. I'm not going into a haunted house with you.
I'm running.
Don't care what it's for. Okay.
You better be behind me.
You're running into the house.
I'm running whatever direction is away from the scary people. So
I'm running away from you as a tag team partner. If we're in the house, anytime that's not Halloween, maybe on Halloween, but you have a whole 361 days until that comes up again. So
yeah, there you go.
We'll see. I can remember myself. But Mari, how is? I wasn't say how's it going, but I mean, we should acknowledge
it's not good.
What's happening
not good,
literally Matt. As we speak.
So leave it up to us to schedule a Thursday recording session because, you know, sometimes we got things to do on the weekend. So
yeah.
We flexible like that.
Yeah.
And then WWE decided that they wanted to start releasing talent as we're about to go live.
Just for us. Look at that.
I didn't just sit through a long work day. Like, I'm not used to, you know, recording this at night. Now you're throwing this at me, Vince McMahon. I specifically am talking to you. Like, why would you do this?
We do know that Vince McMahon listens to the podcast. Shout out to Vinnie Mac. Thank you for tuning in, Mr. McMahon. We appreciate you. And please don't.
And first off, how dare you?
Us from the podcast. Yeah, how dare you? What is wrong with you? What are you doing right now, sir? I'm literally looking at the Twitter. I was not ready for this stress. I just wanted to have a peaceful, quiet, calm, you know, maybe like dulcet tones wrestling podcast. And he just, Vince.
This is ridiculous.
The unmitigated gall. What is going on?
The audacity. Let's just read the looking at Twitter. I know I'm looking. It's like literally
Sean
being
Ross Sapp
updated.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. Shout out to Fightful. Sean at Sean Ross Sapp. And very reliable source. He is wonderful, but he also brings us horrible news sometimes. So thank you for that, Sean.
We really appreciate that.
You know what? Maybe we could have just, it would have been great if he said, I'm going to take the night off and not tweet this news until tomorrow. We would have been probably happier people.
Well, he's getting his engagement, though.
So. Oh, yeah. Those are a lot of engagements here. Unfortunately.
So just to start us off of some of the releases, we got Karrion Kross and Scarlett are gone. Not so surprised at that one because they've been keeping him off of TV. Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado, Lucha House Party, they're gone. I mean,
yeah.
Again, we are not happy that anybody loses their job. All of these are sad. So it like if we just happen to say like, oh, I'm like really sad for like one person, we're sad for all of them. But, you know, there are some of these people are our favorites. They're people we've been talking about for this whole entire year. So it just really sucks.
Yeah, I think the thing that sucks, like the thing that sucks about it even more, like beyond them being our favorites, is like the fact that these people all lost their jobs.
Their jobs.
And now we're talking about it, and a lot of people will be talking about it, and like we can't imagine what it's like.
Exactly.
There are, but like literally, they probably found out hours ago. I think I've heard
right now.
Even, maybe they're finding out right now from Twitter. No, maybe they didn't pick up the phone, which would have been a smart move. Never pick up the phone if WWE is trying to fire you, because then you can't be fired.
Yeah, no Stanford numbers on a day like this. Yeah, like, that's not funny. But it's just like it's just so bad. No, like seriously. It really is. So Katrina Cortez. Trey Baxter, which I think we're going to talk about. That's Cora Jade's boyfriend, I think. And we're going to talk about. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Jeet Rama, who was just on NXT 2.0 earlier this week, fighting Solo Sikoa in his debut. Oni Lorcan. I mean, didn't Oni get cut and then re-signed, if I remember correctly?
Oni Lorcan's phenomenal and totally amazing, I would say, but
something like that. Or he was about to get cut and they restructured or something. Zeta Ramir, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, aka AQA. She was one of that was
like,
her
is
name.
She an AKA? She's an AKA.
No. Oh my God. Known as AQA is her name. I don't know what that one stands for, but that was Booker T's protege.
Alpha Kappa Alpha.
Yeah. Jesse Kamea was fired alongside of her Robert Stone brand crewmate. Freaking Frankie Monet is gone, aka Taya Valkyrie.
Which is bizarre. Well, okay. So we could look back at this year and probably point to a lot of weirdly timed releases, that one being weird because we didn't get to see her this week on NXT, but we did literally hear her theme song and have Robert Stone. I think we called it, he sang
was it dance to, it we'll talk a, about it
we
later
tried to sing. We will talk about it later and we won't be happy.
No,
maybe we will be about the segment, who knows, but not happy about her release.
And then Ember Moon
list, it's like there's so many names. It's also hard to keep track of all of the people because the names are literally rolling out. Like when we logged on here in real time, the releases just started being tweeted out like 15 minutes before, with some tweets literally still coming out. You mentioned Ember Moon. I don't think you said BFAB.
I know. I've been dreading it. Yeah, I've been dreading it. BFAB is now released.
So just to like run through the names, BFAB, Nia Jax was just released, this is all according to Sean Ross Sapp. So
not Nia's whole.
This is our source. She gave us a lot of whole moments this year, and
she did.
R.I.P. to that whole. Keith Lee, Harry Smith. You mentioned Mia Yim.
Did I? I don't know. I'm so sad. I've just been like trying to not say their names to make it not real, y'all.
Well, the thing. Okay, you probably didn't mention Mia Yim, but we were thinking about Mia Yim because we love her too. In addition to a lot of these people, and the sad thing, one of the sad things that I'm reading is that from Sean Ross Sapp. I feel like at 7:24 p.m. on today, November 4th, budget cuts were cited as a reason for the releases in the email. So nothing new there. That's what happens all the time. But it is sad when people are told that they're being released for budget cuts when, like, literally the
they've been making money all year.
Hand over fist, whatever the phrase is. So we'll come back to more of these releases, but just like immediate reactions. This is jarring because like Nia Jax is phenomenal. It is sad to think about all the times that people have said Nia should be released for quote unquote being dangerous. And she's made it so far and she's contributed so much. And the fact that she's going now is sad because she is definitely one of the most high profile people and most well booked people on this list, especially looking at this year.
Yeah, she's been injured, right? Like I know they kayfabe injured her, but I think she was like legit injured.
She can
no. I'm just saying
wants.
That's why she hasn't been on. Yeah, but it really is. Yeah, it really is like It really is sad.
Eva Marie, I will also say, I'm looking at the list, but I just watched, like, this is where the timing is so weird, because, like, there are all the times when we see a wrestler referenced or appear on the show, like, in the week that they're released, and that's happened multiple times this year. Mm-hmm. But also, like, in the case of Eva Marie, I literally last night was watching an interview that she did with Renee Paquette, former Renee Young, YouTube. Literally last night I was watching this, and then today she's released. And I really like Eva. I like her as a person, and
it's the same documented here.
It is well established that I appreciate the beautiful, talented Eva Marie, who hopefully, you know what? Actually, I'm going to do something new here, Mari. Let me take a left. We don't have money on the Wrestling Rehab Up, but if any of the wrestlers who are released want to be signed to the Wrestling Rehab Up and appear here,
at you. Yeah, we have money.
We don't have a wrestling ring either, but yeah. You could come on. Hang out. Why not?
Yeah, I don't think they're that desperate, but sure.
Just when they're like looking at the list of options, I want us to be at the bottom of that list of
just to say we kind of made the list.
I mean, like, look, they have opportunities already, which is solid. But look, rough. Like, we could go on and on. This is painful to look at, and like still really shocking. But we'll talk about it as we go along, I'm sure too.
Yeah, we'll keep updated, and you know, we're still going to try and bring some sort of levity to the episode because that's our jobs. And we will.
Do I have to do a dance? Do I have to do McDonald's balls? Oh my god!
But I hope we don't get demonetized for that. But yes, so let's start off with a little bit more news. John Moxley, aka Ambrose, entered Impact. I know the hits just keep on coming.
This is good news at the end of the day, right?
Very true.
He entered inpatient rehab.
Yes. So he's treating, I think what they said was an alcohol problem, addiction. I don't know, you know, whatever his story is when he decides to tell it, but he's taking some time away from AEW to get sober for, of course, his wife Renee Paquette. We were just talking about slash Ray Young. Oh my god, Renee Paquette. Renee Young. Jesus, yes. It's one of those days, y'all.
It is one of those days, though.
Their child. So, yeah. I mean, CM Punk did a touching tribute to John Moxley on AEW today, while also still like hyping everybody up for his Eddie Kingston match. So great job by Punk. And then after the show went off, Tony Khan and some of the other wrestlers did a little tribute to him after the show went off air.
Yeah, and I'll also just say that Renee tweeted about a day ago, thanks for this outpouring of support. John is every bit of a badass, or of the badass we all know him to be. I couldn't be more proud of him for getting proper help that he needs and being given the space to put his health first. Couldn't possibly love this man more. Red heart emoji. Oh, I'm liking that tweet. I didn't like that one before. I like it. I like that. You know, it's great when people could get help. And, you know, the wrestling business, it's no secret, has a lot of stories like this. Some that we know, many that we probably don't know and will never know. So the fact that that he's getting the help he needs, the fact that he was willing to let Tony Khan and others talk about it is what's important. And, you know, especially with alcohol, like I could imagine that with a lot of people, there's just a line of like, is this alcoholism if I'm still able to show up and do my job and wrestle? And is it alcoholism if I need this to not feel like my neck's hurting and my back's hurting and all this and what numb whatever pain? I don't know. I'm not saying that this is the case for John, but I'm just saying that I'm glad that he's able to get the help. And you know, this is a much better story than like a negative story that could have come out if he didn't get the help, or if he wasn't getting the help needed. So I'm looking at this as a positive story.
Me too. I am.
And this is good news.
Yeah, good news. Yeah, because first step is, you know, asking for help. So
yeah.
All right, man. So
fun. Wrestling is fun. We're not getting sued for that one, are we?
No, I don't think so. Okay. If you have any long form questions, you can always send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at WrestlingRehapUp. Or you can use a hashtag WrestlingRehapUp on Twitter. This week we did get an email follow up from Jacob from last week. And
shout
all he
Jacob.
Just Yeah, he just said he was listening to our episode from last week, and he said he had to write an update because him and Maggie are good friends. So it was fate that his last question was answered on the podcast that we had her on. And he wanted to write in, and he said, yes, we did go to college together, and yes, he does know Karn.
Alexander, the infamous Karn Alexander. Who, honestly, if I'm Karn Alexander, and if I am considering a return to wrestling,
right
this is the time to do it, because if you're looking at your Google search results, it's peaking right now.
It
I searched
of
last
us.
Week. Literally.
Yes, literally. Ooh. Really? So that's so messed up. Thank you so much, Jacob, for sending in that email. You can always email us. You can also join the Facebook group Job Has a Squadcast, the unofficial Facebook group of the RHAP patrons and RHAP community.
Yes, Rob has a podcast, if we haven't said it officially, if anyone is tuning in. And I interrupt Mari just to clarify sometimes. But Mari, what were you talking about? The reasons why people should become patrons?
So hopefully, no, I'm not at that part yet. But so. Oh.
Give us your
cut
money,
us
please. Give RHAP your money and tell us they sent you. We'll get there. We'll come back to that. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We also have a podcast feed. Hopefully you're listening to us on it at Wrestling Rehap Up. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You could also be looking at our wonderfully tired faces right now on YouTube as robhasapodcast.com. On Rob Has a Podcast YouTube. Yes, I said my face is very tired right now. Again, stop this
Rob,
podcast
wait,
and
watch,
go look.
Watch this. Mari, watch this. Watch this right now. robhasawebsite.com/YouTube.
There you go. Oh, look at you. Awesome.
Off the top.
Off the top. Okay. And then finally, like Matt said, become a patron.
Now's a great time to do it.
Patron on Patreon. It is the perfect time of the month to become a patron at www.patreon.com/RHAP, where you can get exclusive access to 5 for 5, the patron 5 for 5, patron game nights. Your own Patreon podcast feed. Yeah, Q&A's.
All of it.
So,
Mari, you were on the Patreon just a couple weeks ago doing a Survivor Q&A.
Yeah.
I'll be on the Patreon on Monday doing the Survivor Q&A. So
there we go.
If you want to hear us, we're exclusive. We're expensive, like diamonds and everything. So
pay for us.
Like $5, whatever you want a month. And you get access to all of this exclusive content, including our smooth and sensual voices. I'll keep going. Yeah
It's okay. All right,
we tried.
Now that we have stumbled through the opening because we are so shooketh,
need to let that out,
Matt. Would you like to introduce our wonderful guest for this evening?
I would. I'd love to, because we're a podcast about fun. We're a podcast about levity. That's what these intros are all about. Our guest is fun, levitatious, and all of it. So making her way to the podcast, hailing from the Bay State, the Big Bean State, the Pilgrim State, the Spirit of America, the home of Bosstown, Massachusetts, she is delightfully chaotic. And she goes in, way in, inside Survivor. Please welcome the wise, warm, welcoming, well-known, wondrous, wonderful, worldly, worthwhile, world-class, and last but not least, worthy. Come on, Thesaurus. Gia Worthy.
Can someone just save me like a short video of that intro? Because I'm going to post it everywhere. Like,
go do, yeah.
Yeah, to, could attach it to my resume, attach it every, oh, it's going everywhere. Absolutely. Yes. It's like a pinched tweet or something. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I loved that. That was probably the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. So thank
you. It was
you.
Worth it. It was worth it. And one day I will pass out on this podcast, Gia. Doing an
but
intro.
Not today.
I came close and then I said, Matt, you need to rein it in.
Yes.
You want to really welcome Gia properly, but you need to not pass out. So
I appreciate you standing strong for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and it wasn't too bad. We still got the majesty of it, even if you did retain a little bit of your breath. So I think she's I think she's okay. You.
Who's breathing on a podcast anyway?
Yeah, I know.
We don't breathe. Stop breathing on podcasts. It's annoying. Stop. We don't breathe. We don't do anything. No, we're wide awake and happy to be here and happy to have you, Gia.
How's it going?
It's going so well. A lot of chaos. It's been a very crazy week. And October was no better. So nice introduction into the new month. I recently moved into my own space. And though it's expensive, it is absolutely wonderful. I never want to live with people again. But oh my God, it was... it's great. And it's just been, I've been very excited to get prepared for this podcast. And now that, of course, the one that I have signed up to be a part of is the one where all of these releases were coming out right as I was signing on. But it's really, it's been a really fun week. And getting some time to watch all of the clips that you sent me has been a really like fun break from everything else I've been doing from my week. Yeah, so it was great.
That's so awesome, Gia. Can you give the listeners a little bit of information on your background with wrestling, what lack thereof, or you know, what it is you know about wrestling before we sent you these clips?
Yes.
So there's definitely a lack thereof on more on that side of the equation. I know a little bit, you know, there's a couple names that come up that you just know originally come from wrestling. Like obviously people know like The Rock and John Cena and stuff, but those are because they made that transition into acting. But then there were a couple that I just recognized from like social media and different outlets and things like that. Actually, when I was younger, one of my brothers was very into wrestling and all of his friends were as well. So we would, but usually against my will, but we would still be watching a lot of wrestling videos. So I watched a lot of wrestling content, like WWE content. By proxy, because it was just always on when we were around. And it was a lot different when I was originally like watched it. I didn't really retain a lot of the information. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a lot of New Day merch in the past few years.
Yeah.
So you know, when I was growing up, I didn't see a lot of black wrestlers, especially not a lot of like black wrestler tag teams and stuff. So I found that very interesting. And I specifically remember seeing a Royal Rumble one time through my brother's watches. And I actually remember loving it. But I think, as you all know, I'm a big Survivor fan. So I think I just like where people get eliminated.
Yeah.
So that was actually fun. So I will probably, now that I'm getting back into the WWE game, I might, like, next time they have one, I might do a Royal Rumble watch, because that was fun.
The next one, it happens every January. So it's coming up soon. I just want to say I'm glad that you didn't mention like having any wrestling moves done on you or anything.
Oh my God.
Safe and did you block it out?
Oh no. I was far too, I would break. So at least there was, we had boundaries at the very least. So
that's great.
Everything I learned was pretty much secondhand, but I have like those vague memories in there. And so not completely zero, but close to it.
That's pretty, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And that makes sense. Like normally around Royal Rumble time, that is when a lot of casuals come back to the brand, because it's just so exciting, because you just never know who's going to come down to the ring, who's going to win, you know? So that is one of my favorite pay-per-views, definitely.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. And you know, one question I want to ask you, Gia, before we really start to dive in. You know, you are an Inside Survivor contributor, so people could check out your Survivor 41 takes there. Also part of the Survivor Diversity Campaign. I happen to know you have an MA in Gender and Cultural Studies, so I'm just dropping the resume in here, of course. But, like, do you see any comparisons between Survivor and, like, that world and wrestling, other than people being eliminated? Like, I don't know if there's where these things meet, but obviously we all love both of them, and so... maybe you have a better sense of like why they're what links them.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think anyone that likes competitions like I do can see an appeal in shows like wrestling or Survivor. So there is just that attachment to a competition edge. I did listen to the podcast the week prior with Maggie, and she realized that there were a lot of continuing storylines, and I think Survivor likes to tell stories within their season, especially in the more recent seasons. They seem very attached to the idea of building a story to understand why things happen the way they do, or why we get the winners that we do, or the finalists that we do. And I think WWE and just wrestling in general is also very attached to this idea of telling a story. And you can kind of get an idea of, okay, I feel like I'm in the middle of this storyline right now, or this sounds like a chapter closed for that wrestler. So that's definitely some things that I could piece together from it. I talked about how with Royal Rumble, like people getting eliminated, that was something that was appealing to me. There was like that competitive edge to it. As someone that loves the chaotic seasons just for the sake of pure chaos, I feel like you can definitely find some comparisons between a Survivor Nicaragua or Gabon and wrestling storylines. So if you like those seasons, definitely take some time to watch some clips or storylines from wrestling, because it was, you know, there's a lot in there, and there's a lot in Survivor as well. So it's definitely something fun to keep up with. And of course, there is just like the physicality of both. They're both very, obviously very physically draining activities. And I think that if that does appeal to you, like the physical sides of things, or seeing just how much effort and strain that people put into this, because they really are putting their whole bodies and like their whole selves into wrestling. But you do the same in Survivor. It feels more slow moving for Survivor, but it's still, it helps ask that question, at least one of the questions of how far people will go for success, essentially.
Look at that, pulling out themes and everything.
I mean, like, it's fun. It's fun to see, and it's something that I haven't really watched a ton of. It's very exciting to find those comparisons and things that you wouldn't initially think have any similarities, or very few similarities other than competition. But definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great point. And that's exactly why we like having people on who aren't necessarily familiar with wrestling, but can see the nuance and the difference and go look at something that we just don't see it the same way. And we're all about different perspectives and diversity. So it is just so, we're so glad to have you on today. And we're so excited to get some of your takes on these very interesting clips that we've sent to you this week. Let's get into the highlights of the week. Sure. We're going to start with Raw, like we always do. All of our highlights can be found in our show notes or our show description. Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry I keep checking my phone, but it's just like the news. It's just coming.
We need to stay on top of it. I need to turn on my notifications for Sean Ross.
I turn mine off.
Or something.
He's live now. He's live on YouTube right now talking about it. So,
well, we're not watching him because
no, we're not.
That's not a thing that we do while we're on podcasts. But yeah. we'll keep up to date on anything, and we will absolutely check back on this on the releases at. Well, we'll mention them along the way, as I probably said already, but we'll definitely check back. Probably throughout the show, but also at the end of the show.
At the end. Yep. Yes. Exactly. So let's start off with our first batch of clips here. We had Becky versus Bianca for the Raw Women's Championship. This actually opened the show. Like,
yeah,
I never watch Raw live. Everybody knows that I say that on this podcast a lot. But as soon as people are like, oh my God, they're opening with Becky and Bianca, I was like, oh man, I got to turn and watch Raw.
But Mari, they like they. I just want to say, like they. It's I get that them opening is like a technical description of what happened, but like they literally had the first like 20 minutes of the show to themselves, which is not something that happens a lot. And there was like a video package at the very beginning that recaps their storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. That was like I'm happy for that. I felt really good for them when I was like, they've been on here for most of this. Like right. It was like 30 minutes in. I'm like, oh, okay, they're done now.
Which is why the clips on our playlist this week aren't from WWE, because of course WWE will reduce a 30-minute match to 3 minutes on a clip. So we found some clips right for the whole match, including some of the mid-match I think mid-match promo as well. So I mean, yes, great match, I would say. Before I talk about the repercussions of the match itself, Gia, what did you think, since these were like your first batch of clips, just like stone cold, like this is what you first are hit over the head, what did you think?
Over the head, I mean, like a chair. But
yeah.
No, I thought it was a fun one to be introduced to. I feel like I got, even though I was just watching the clips, I feel like I got a really good understanding of who both Becky and Bianca are, a little bit of what their storylines would be up until that point, even if I'm not watching the weeks previously. I love the costumes. I feel like that's another reason I should be watching wrestling. It's like the outfits are amazing. I love the colors. But I thought it was a very fun match to get into. They were so into their personalities and their storylines. You could really feel the commitment from both of them. So this was a great one to get started with. And I can tell that this one had a lot of time dedicated to it, even in the condensed versions that you sent me, because there was so much going on and so much time and a commitment dedicated to understanding who Becky and Bianca both were. So that was great. It was a really fun one to start off with.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a really good match between Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. And of course, I mean, like they have really good chemistry. We've seen this already. And like they start off with really good mat chain wrestling that Becky does, but the whole kind of like the story of the match was like Bianca needs to, you know, this is the hump, you know, she wants to beat Becky. Becky is the only horsewoman she hasn't technically beaten, because they count the disqualification win over Charlotte as a win. I get, yeah, they, yeah, right. So you know, and it was also of her trying not to make rookie mistakes as well, I think they were saying. And basically Becky trying to just avoid her, Bianca's finisher is still protected. Nobody's kicked out of it yet, the kiss of death. And so it was a really, really, really good match. And Bianca even resorted to going to her like old finishing moves. She used to do the finishing move, Matt, I don't know if you remember, where she did it to Becky on the announce table, where she lifts the person up and then she throws them over her head. Like that used to be her finisher. It was always crazy looking to me. It was like, yeah.
Wait,
it was like,
you mean just like a press slam? Like a,
like she would have them slap like in a power. It was a reverse power bomb. Remember?
You
it was like a reverse
power. I distinctly remember this from the match looking, too.
Yeah, wow. It was such a bad finisher.
I forgot about that too. And she's always had that like powerhouse style too. But yeah, she There's so much, and it's funny because, like, even just looking at WWE.com, like, we always on our YouTube, we have photos up from WWE.com, the show, but it's wild because, like, the whole thing's a highlight reel. Like, Becky, really they had the hair spots, of course, where Becky made the ill-advised she made the ill-advised decision to touch Bianca's hair, which did not work out well for her. Right. You know, there are just all sorts of power moves, flips, kicks, splits, jumps, trips, all of it.
And we kept getting the armor into the KOD spot.
We did in so many different ways. Bianca kept going for her finishing move. But I think the thing for me that was so interesting watching this match was just the crowd reaction, because this crowd, and Mari, correct me if I'm wrong, but this crowd, more than any crowd really since Becky returned in August, was very, not that they were anti Bianca, but they were very pro Becky. And there were definitely a lot of cheers and chants for her, especially at the beginning of the match. By the end, with the way that it ended, I don't think people were happy, which is great. That's the what the reaction should be. But it was more of an even, like, we love Becky, we also love Bianca type of vibe from the crowd. Like, what, Mari, what did you think about that piece of it? And I don't know if that stood out to you in any way, Gia, but curious to hear both of your thoughts.
Yeah, Gia, did you notice anything like that?
I was trying to get an idea, especially watching some of the clips in the future. You realize that there were, like, starting to notice more that there are, the crowd definitely has opinions on who they want to see win and who they want to fall on their face. They definitely did seem, it was hard to pick up at first, so I did go back and get a better sense of it. But it did seem like they weren't anti-Bianca, but they definitely were excited to see Becky back after this hiatus. I think she said it was because she had a baby. And to see her back in the ring, and she seems like a very established wrestler. So it was, I agree. I think it was like, we're not so much anti Bianca, but we're also very happy that Becky is back. And I do want to say that, like, I wanted to just make this note. Bianca's hair was fantastic. So, and I realized very quickly that that long braid is her signature, but also her edges. Like, please tell me the secret, because I cannot. I've tried. I tried so hard. I cannot get mine to look like that. So, like, Bianca, drop the secret, please. Drop the hair routine. Like, hair care products. But yes. So, but I needed to make that known in a public setting. But yeah, so I think this was, that was another reason why I think this was a first good one to start off with, because it did feel like they were excited, but they weren't totally against someone. And for, you know, as someone that does, like, root for underdogs, I was definitely, before hearing the crowd and just not knowing the context as well of the two stories, just, I was rooting for Bianca. I was excited to see her, and I thought she had a really fun personality with her. So it was fun to see this match. But yeah, getting the reactions of the crowd definitely puts things better in context for me.
Yeah, and we've kind of said it, like, Bianca so far is the only person who's pulled any crowd reaction away from Becky. So that is, like, such a big feat. For a little bit of context, Gia, Becky was literally running the company for a whole year and was champion for a whole year before she gave up the championship because she was pregnant. Like, she got pregnant at the top of her prime. Like, I don't even know what the comparison to that is, but it's just like, the moment you're, like, the top number one draw and then you get pregnant, so you have to walk away, like, it's the one thing that they always discourage women to do, you know, it's either your career or a baby. And for her to, like, kind of buck that trend, get pregnant at the hype, at the height of her success, walk away, and then be able to come back and, like, still get a crowd reaction like she never left is very, like, inspiring. I'm sure for a lot of women.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense, because, like, in the beginning, they give those big monologues, and Becky had a very long one about how she was coming back and how hard it is to be her. And initially I'm like, all right, Becky, chill a little bit. But then
but, she's a bad guy in this one. She's supposed to be the heel in this feud.
Yeah. Yes. So she, okay. But I suppose she has earned the right to give those monologues. So
sure.
I get it. All right, Becky, I get it. I don't realize how hard it is to be you. So
yeah, Becky. Okay, Becky.
It's hard, but it's not that hard.
No.
She seems to be doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, look, I think a lot of people wish they could be Becky Lynch is what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't mind if I had to give birth to a baby to be Becky Lynch somehow in this. I would do it. I would do it. I would figure it out if I could.
And we'll
if
talk
I could.
About who her husband is as well, because he was on these clips that we sent you.
On the show.
So, I said all that to say, like, this was great and all, but we said it last week. There was basically no way Bianca was winning here. We basically knew it. So I was I'm very disappointed because somebody counted. This is her fifth championship match. Like, this is literally her fifth champ time. And every single time she's been.
What do you mean? Like, is this her
since
fifth?
Since she lost the title?
Wow. This is her,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's had three. She's had three in 1 week. She had three in a week and a half. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's not even counting. That's not even counting live events like every weekend. Probably
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Twice so a week. Just, who knows?
Ugh. It just makes her look, as a good guy, it just keeps making her look stupid. Like, I just don't. And then the whole, Charlotte last week saying that she wanted to drop the title to Bianca, but was told no, kind of like is poison in the well, because now, like, everybody is just, some people are mad at Becky. Some people are mad at the backstage area for not letting her drop the belt. And some people are just like, well, maybe Bianca needs to, like, literally go to the back of the line, like Becky said. And I agree. If you're not taking that belt off of Becky, they should have done this match. They could have ended their saga after Crown Jewel. Like, last week we talked about it. Becky had that promo. Bianca comes out and says, you have never beaten me 1-on-1. And then Becky told her to get to the back of the line. If that was the case, and we're going to have a Bianca trying to now, work her way back into the title picture, we could have done that a week ago. We did not need this title match, because even though it made her look good, and in a sense with, like, just her pure work rate, and even though it keeps her on TV, which is great too, you don't want to be taken off of TV when you're this white hot. It's still, it's just not a good look for when your baby face keeps getting beaten and outsmarted, it starts to look bad. So, I mean, and
I agree. But I also would add too, to your point, that I think there's also something to, like, overexposing people. And if you just, like, mm-hmm. it's great. She did look, Bianca looked really great in the match. And I think the thing that was interesting is that in this match, Bianca did a lot of power moves, like lifting Becky and really holding Becky. And I don't know, maybe just me, but I was thinking, like, hold her every second longer. You're just pulling the crowd back in more and more. And that's effective. But you don't want people to get used to it so much that they're like, okay, there's Bianca lifting a human overhead for 10 seconds, like no women, like very few women before her have done. Right. And so that's the one thing I worry about, just the overexposure where it's like, do you see what she's doing physically? Like, this is ridiculous. This is amazing. And maybe, like, exposing her less I don't think she needs it, but I don't think that would hurt for her to have, like, less matches, or just to, like, lose less would be great.
And that's what I'm saying. I would rather, like, not only should she, like, she shouldn't lose, she should lose less by not putting her in matches for her to lose, if you know what I'm saying. Like, and they tried to protect her with the finish, and the finish, Becky had loosened up a turnbuckle pad at the beginning. It came off at the end. She used the exposed turnbuckle to hit Bianca in the face with it and then get the pin. Meanwhile, the ref is staring at it the whole time, which was so annoying as well. It's like, ref, you saw the head, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's whatever. I hope that what they do next for her is start like giving her more like vignettes now, like have her be like, that loss to Becky, I got to go back to the drawing board. Maybe like some more, go back to her like workout vignettes when she's just like working out and cutting promos and, you know, like do like a film study type. I need to figure out where I went wrong here. Style thing, but they need to do something. They need to follow it up. What they need to not do is turn her heel. I saw a lot of people saying they should just turn her heel, which I'm like, why? Why would you turn her heel when she's a red hot baby face right now who's over when it's
no,
hard?
That's a bad. That's a. I will just jump in and say that is a horrible idea for a lot of reasons because there aren't like who that. That's literally like just. Let's just throw our money down the drain. Like exactly. T-shirt sales, braids. Are they selling her braid on WWE shop? I really hope they're
that
not.
That would be kind of weird. Yeah. Like, I don't know about all that.
I saw a lot of kids on, since it's Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. Week, yeah.
There were a lot of kids who like cosplayed as her. And of course, they all have the braid and like the.
It was so cute.
The like lips on the shirt and like on their. Yeah, it was. But it was hilarious because I'm glad they're not selling her braid on WWE.com. I don't want to see like. I'll just say grown men in the crowd wearing her braid and like whipping it around as she enters that's I don't want to manifest that.
I had already brought up the roster before like the cuts to talk about like
exactly
where she would fall now that she's being moved out of the way. But I guess we can talk about that after we go over this last clip. In this last clip, I mean, it was kind of funny because we got Reggie was being pursued by the rest of the 24/7 championship people. That's a long story, Gia, of what is going on specifically in that clip.
Well, okay, wait, just breaking it down. Whoa, yeah. slowing it down for a second. Yeah. Because first of all, I'm not even going to try to talk through the fact that it is one video for some reason on WWE YouTube.
It's one video. It's
but so anyway, strange. Yeah, there was another clip that we'll talk about later that did a similar thing for AEW. But I just think like the clip starts out with a familiar face who I'm sure Gia maybe vaguely recognized.
Just about to ask that, like the first thing that came to mind. That's Survivor Mara Slamtown John, right?
Yes,
that is I'm glad he's doing well. He seemed very happy in that video.
He did seem very zen.
He was the only one minding his own business. I was like, good for you, John.
Yeah, you know that video, he looked good. But let's say, first off, his partner, The Miz, just got voted off of Dancing with the Stars. Sorry.
Yeah, what a week.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah. And then his wife, Frankie Monet, also known as Taya Valkyrie, just got released today. So,
yeah.
Oh.
So maybe he won't be as chill. Actually, I was already thinking like, oh, he's not going to be as chill next week because The Miz got voted off of Dancing. Damn JoJo Siwa, by the way. I don't care. I don't know her. I don't want to know her. I don't see her. She might be.
No.
You should not be on Dancing with the Stars. You are a performer. Who
a professional dancer.
Get out.
Yeah,
get out.
Yeah,
get out,
fair.
JoJo.
It really isn't.
No, this is my challenge for JoJo Siwa. Right. Whoever. I don't even care your name. I'll challenge you. Now if you're
stop
watching
it.
Okay, this
we
is
support Joseph.
How old is she?
She's like
hopefully an adult.
No, she's like 18 or 19 or something.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, she's an adult. But then sidebar, that is also a pet peeve of mine as someone that used to watch Dancing with the Stars is when they have like people that are actors or
dancers athletes,
and then they're competing against people who were like trained in Broadway or professional dancers. Like that was why they're a celebrity. It's like, really? Yeah. I want to see football players like tripping over their feet or like Real Housewives, you know, like trying to learn a two step. I don't need to see the professional dancers wipe everyone out of the water.
Or wrestlers
on Dancing with the Stars would be perfect because they do so much choreography, but it's not the choreography they're used to. Oh, I would love
that. Amon Shumpert is killing it this year. Amon Shumpert, Teyana Taylor's husband. He killed it on Halloween Horror Night. So I think it's that, like, you want them to be like, know how to use their body, like an athlete of some sort, but you don't want them to be a professional dancer. Like, it's just not fair. Like,
it's really, and then when they win at the end, it's like, oh my God, only everyone saw this coming because he's a professional dancer. Yes. So I agree. That is also a pet peeve of mine. And as someone that does love JoJo Siwa and her being on the show, it's just like, girl, you need, like, come on, this isn't even fair. Like, have like a dancer celebrity season or something. But
I'm just upset about The Miz being taken out because he was so good. Like, I didn't even watch the show to be fair, but I did watch his, I looked at his Instagram. I spent a lot of time looking at his Instagram and all of the different clips that he was posting of him practicing. I am bitter and I'm not gonna remove you from this podcast right now, Gia, for being a JoJo Siwa fan, but I did consider it for a split second because I'm very hurt right now and I'm glad that we had this moment to talk about The Miz randomly.
I'm glad we had some time to vent and give you the space to do so.
I'm okay. Wow. Thank you. So anyway, the segment we were talking about, which had nothing to do with John Morrison, who happened to be there, the mayor of Slamtown, Mari, you were saying.
We had a 24/7 championship little thing here with R-Truth and Akira Tozawa. It was really cute and really funny. But the reason why we had to sit through that is to get to the Becky interview. So, what was it? Kayla was interviewing Becky and Becky was like, oh, tonight I showed Bianca, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. I'm still the man, whatever. I'm bitter about that loss. And then as she was like, oh, now Bianca can go to the back of the line and I can have some new challengers. And so then Liv Morgan popped into frame and everybody cheered. And I love Liv Morgan. I'm a big Liv Morgan fan. However, like, how am I supposed to feel like she's an actual contender when you just had her lose to Carmella on Raw last week?
What? Answer that one, Vince McMahon and WWE. Tell us, writers.
It's just like very annoying. They have a really big problem of like building their title feuds. When your title feud is happening, you need to be establishing somebody with some sort of credibility away from the title so that when they step into the title feud, it's like, you know, exciting. It's going to be exciting to watch Liv. It's going to be exciting to see if her and Becky can put a match together. I can't really remember the last time that they had fought. But do I really think Liv Morgan's going to take the belt off of Becky Lynch? Not right now. So I guess the biggest thing is WWE, you need to convince me that it's possible or whatnot. But I'm very glad that Liv is getting that, that shot. Gia, do you have any comments about that last clip we sent you in the storyline?
I mean, it seemed pretty on brand with what we saw with Becky at the beginning of the fight where she was giving her monologue. It just seemed like an extension of the monologue she had given earlier, but they're building her up to be the big bad in this situation or to be the heel, you know, like they're giving her some time, giving her some screen time and everything. But I'm guessing that is so they can advertise the fact that they're going to have this match with Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was interesting. I liked that she used the word fickle. That was a fun word. Yes, I enjoyed her saying that people are fickle and that they just can't relate to her success. It was,
accurate.
I mean, I can't. I will probably never be as successful as Becky Lynch, especially. So I cannot relate, Becky. I understand. But I thought it was just very funny. And it was a fun opening and then a fun little continuation to what I'm guessing will be the next fight with Becky. But it was fun. It was a good little in-between spot.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is what I was alluding to earlier. So I pulled up the roster. Literally, it was in our outline, so you guys know, before the cut started happening. So I'm looking at the Raw women's roster so far from what we obtained from like draft night and stuff. So the reason why I'm looking at it is what happens from here. Like, this is where I'm like, the women's divisions really need to start filling out with more storylines, because like we have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, no more Nia Jax, Zelina Vega, Doudrop, Dana Brooke, haven't seen her in forever, Liv Morgan, no more Mia Yim, Tamina, and Tegan Nox. So,
just to like reference something with it, like there's one point on the show, and I think it was we'll get to the women's tag match later, but during that match, they had like a random cutaway to the backstage area where it was Dana Brooke, Liv Morgan, Tamina, and Doudrop just standing there watching the screen. So I don't know what that means.
What?
They were just like standing watching the screen. Like, I don't, they were like, just
what
stand there. Don't
right
have
now?
Any definitive reaction. Just stand there. That's what happened.
Oh my God.
They were looking at the screen. You know that weird way that they watch the screens backstage?
No, I know.
Like
standing, I know.
Like, we should record podcasts like that. From the side of our computers.
Like looking over. And that's what I'm saying. That roster. So. Yeah. So you don't want to turn Bianca, because then again, who's your top baby face here? Rhea and Nikki we're going to talk about them, but they're the women's tag team champions right now. If you forgot, like I do almost on a daily basis. I don't know where Alexa is right now. Carmella and Zelina just came over from SmackDown and they went up against Nikki and Rhea. But like, who does Bianca feud with? Who's the second heel, top heel here, and without it being her, like she can't be the heel and the face, you know what I'm saying? Like, so where does Bianca go from here? And if they don't follow up with her usage, then they're just going to prove everybody right that they Kofi Kingston her, you know, at SummerSlam, you know, with, you know, when I'm talking about like when Kofi lost to Brock really quickly, yeah,
and
people
like 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah, and that's what everybody was afraid of, what was happening with Bianca. And we were like, no, it's okay. We'll follow up with the story. And now that's what it's looking like. It's purely looking like they used Bianca to get Becky over. So really sad. I don't know
the
where
speculation could
here.
The speculation could go on and on. I mean, maybe one thing I would throw out there is like maybe we're going to see Bianca. This would be so annoying because we saw this feud basically a year ago or at the start of last year, Carmella and it would be Carmella and Zelina versus Bianca. I don't see any
again
other...
What do you mean, Matt? Yeah. That just wrapped up in July. We just saw that in
I'm
July.
Not saying I don't want to see it, Mari, but like what else is there? Nothing. Literally no one. There's nobody. Nobody. Bianca needs people. If anyone's listening and you could be Bianca's next opponent, let us know. I don't know.
Her
we'll
versus Nia
it.
Would have been good. That would have been a pretty good match.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think they
especially her
seen?
Lifting Nia. Could you imagine her lifting Nia? I know
body
have,
slam. Oh,
right over that would have been great. One of these crest slams, like a just holding her up like that. Oh, 275 pounds.
Yeah, because it can't be her and Doudrop. They're both faces. Man, I don't know.
We don't. I don't want to. This makes me sad to try to think.
It does. It is. It is making me really sad. Okay, so let's move on.
By the way, we have spent like we dove deep into that one, but it was worth it because there are a lot of questions.
It was the main one I really wanted to talk about in Raw. That's why I didn't include a lot of other stuff here.
Yeah.
So next up we have Big E, and Seth. Seth came out with his like portfolio holder or whatever you call it. What did you call it?
It's a padfolio.
You
could probably get one on WWEshop.com. Just check it out. Go to WWEshop.com and try to use promo code Wrestling Rehapup. It won't work. But
it won't work.
Maybe they'll see people trying and they'll figure something out.
Yes. So
yes, Padfolio, and we love a good Padfolio on this.
Big E is being a great babyface champ by telling Seth we can go right in here, right now, getting the crowd on his side. And then, of course, Seth being the slippery bastard that he is like, no, I'm too hurt. I can't do it. And then we get Kevin Owens, also KO, steps up to the ring and he wants to take a shot at Big E. So what did you think of these batch of clips here, Gia?
This was a really fun one. I think we got a general idea of what happened from the clip highlighting what happened with the four-way ladder match. Yeah, so that seemed pretty straightforward. Looked very dangerous, very scary. but I think I agree. I think Seth is definitely being built up to be the heel in this case, and Big E's great, but he was a chill dude. He put up with a lot this week. He was dealing with a lot of other people's stuff. But yeah. I thought it was fun. Yeah, he's definitely someone that's very easy to root for. Mm-hmm. I don't know too much about Kevin besides this clip, so I wasn't sure what his storyline up to this point was. I did see that he was about to win, and then Seth kind of like yanked him down from the ladder the last time one. So it was a bit of that spilling over into this week. But it was really fun. It was definitely, obviously, a big performance from everyone. Big E looked tired of everyone's going on. I can't blame Rollins. I'm like, oh, you know what? You know your limits, sir. Self-care. I get it. But then also, I feel like that's not what I'm supposed to get from this clip. I'm supposed to be like, oh, he's a coward. So I guess not, he's a coward. The thing I did get was that obviously the ending was the big part of it, where Kevin takes that cheap shot at the end after Seth hits Big E. So that was kind of the big moment of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. During the Big E versus Kevin Owens match, Seth came out and hit Big E. KO tried to capitalize on it, but he couldn't. Big E still got the win. And then at the end, Kevin Owens was trying to be like, you know, it wasn't my fault, Big E, you know, because Kevin Owens does a really good job of he's what I would call a tweener. It can be easily a face or easily a heel. Yeah. He's good at both of them. So working both Big E and Seth gives him an opportunity to be like, oh, man, no, like, I'm good. You know me. We're good. You know, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah. But he would have definitely taken the help that Seth gave him. And I do want to point out here that something I found really interesting, and I wonder if WWE really thought of this as far down the line, or if they had just kind of lucked into this. But Seth is basically... Seth is basically using that contract like money in the bank. Like, he really is. Yeah. It seems like he's using it like money in the bank. And so the money in the bank briefcase, Gia, is what Big E used to cash in so he could get a title, so he could win the title that he currently has. Mm-hmm. And basically all it is, it's the same thing as what Seth had. It's a guaranteed contract for a title match. With money in the bank, you could cash it in at any time. So normally you would wait until the champion is down. I don't know if Seth's contract works like that. Again, it feels like he's acting like it works like that. He keeps saying, I'm going to use it when I, you know, feel like it. And Seth was a former Mr. Money in the Bank, and he's had one of the greatest cash-ins of all time at WrestleMania 31. So they did kind of a great job of letting Big E have the notch on his belt of being called Mr. Money in the Bank, being able to be the champion, but now also have a Money in the Bank style story, like plot mover, with Seth having his own contract. Because Money in the Bank is we've said it, I said it, it's normally works best on heels, and this is exactly why. It's Seth using it to his advantage here. So they probably completely lucked into that. But my biggest worry kind of is, we are now two and a half weeks away from Survivor Series. they have not started building towards it. Me and Matt will officially be there reporting live from the Survivor Series.
Oh, breaking news. We'll be there. We might have a match. Who knows?
No.
Uh-uh. Yeah, no. Who? Mari, who knows? Nobody knows because WWE does not plan ahead. So in theory,
maybe
it could happen.
But yeah, so what I'm kind of like afraid of, and when I say afraid, it's because I love Big E and I want him to stay champion forever, is that when it comes to Survivor Series, the champions from each brand fight each other. So right now we have, it would be Big E versus Roman Reigns. Unfortunately, Gia, we are recording before SmackDown, so you didn't get to see the magnificence that is Roman Reigns or the New Day, which are on SmackDown. Big E is a part of the New Day. He's just currently on different brands from them. But right now we would be getting Big E versus Roman, which kind of plays into the storyline on SmackDown, because as of right now, the Usos, who are the SmackDown champions, are starting a storyline with New Day. So it could work, like the New Day Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. But if they wanted to, Seth could use the contract, win the championship, and then we get Seth versus Roman. And everybody loves a good Seth versus Roman match, because they have a lot of history together. So
exactly.
Yeah. So it could go either way. And it's a really, really interesting story. They've done it in a way that I'm still rooting for the babyface champion. Seth is coming off very slimy, and Kevin Owens looks untrustworthy, but it's, again, it's making me have some feelings towards KO. And there are rumors of KO possibly leaving.
There have been rumors of that for the longest time.
The longest, yes.
Like literally years, I want to say.
Yeah.
I was curious about that actually, because it feels like he lost the ladder match.
Yes.
And it happened previously. And then this happened where Big E still won and he had that cheap shot at the end. So it did feel like a weird place to end that Kevin's story arc or his role in all of this for someone that isn't a part of whatever the next step is. I'm assuming Big E and Seth.
He did challenge Seth to a match next week. So it does. So KO versus Seth will be happening next week. They work really well together. They have really good matches. So they're kind of using him to get this feud over, which can be looked at as a bad thing, because you're a chess in a storyline that won't even, like you correctly pointed out, Gia, won't even really involve you in the end there. So that's why a lot of people, that on top of a lot of people thinking he's leaving, because normally if you're headed out the door, the term is you want to go out with, you want to go out on your back, staring at the lights. So if you are leaving, you want to put over as many people as possible.
Right.
You lose as, you know, to get other people over. So it's a possibility. You know, who knows at this point, but as of right now, this is a great storyline, and I think all three men are doing a really, really good job making it interesting. All right, let's just move on to our last clip here. We don't have to spend too much time on it, I guess. We got Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. They are the women's tag team champions. It started off, it kind of got kicked off with a promo on Raw. Queen Zelina and Carmella were like, you know, talking smack to both of them in the back, so that we got a tag team action here. And Queen Zelina and Carmella beat Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley. So normally, and this is a non-title match, so more than likely what's going to happen is a title match is going to follow. Yeah, this happened.
This was like a weird. Okay, so like the backstage segment, they had a mean. They were like, "It's the ugliest effing whatever." Like, that's the ugliest effing mask I've ever seen. That's a Mean Girls reference. Great. That's a month late. It's not Mean Girls Day. That was a month ago. So you missed that, WWE. So maybe you should check your calendar. I don't know why I'm bitter about that, but it was like a very interesting way to like get. I mean, that's the thing. It was like the opposite of an interesting way to get into the match, because it's like, oh, they're saying mean things about us. Well, we can't have that. Let's confront them and then have a match. Like, you didn't need to do that. You could just be like, very oh, your girls. Words don't matter. I don't care what they think. Be the bigger person. Star. Be a star. Show tolerance and respect. That's what WWE is all about, Gia. Being a star. Showing tolerance and respect. Ooh. Take that somewhere with you. I don't know where. Thank you.
I'll let people know what I learned. But, I mean, this definitely felt like, of the three matches in here that we are talking about, this was definitely more of the afterthought. I don't want to say afterthought, but it definitely wasn't as exciting to me as the other two were. Like, those were really, like, you could get into the storylines, you could get into the characters. Right. This one, it was, a tag team match happened. I'm not entirely sure of the rules, but it happened. I was also not a fan of the mask, the full face. I'm like, but that was an ugly mask. But I guess if that was my mask, then I wouldn't want people calling me out like that. So
yeah, she wears the mask to protect the face. She said it's the most beautiful face. That mask, like, how does a mask like completely change your features?
Mari,
like,
don't.
It's so ridiculous.
I mean, if you really think about it, though, her face does look differently shaped in that mask. Like, if it you really look closely, in my mind, the shape does look different. It looks like a very soft material, but maybe this is like one of those James Bond type of like alloy, flexible alloy metals that's made with special chemistry so that the particles do the thing with the neutrons and the protons.
That's it's giving me very like Michael Myers or one of those, those sheet masks that people put on like before, you know, like a sheet mask where you just put it on. It's like a crossover between the two where it was just the ones you put on supposed to exfoliate and after they burn for a little bit, you take them off. It feels like that. It was. Yes. She can do it. I'm sure, she seems to have a very pretty face, but she can do better, like with the mask.
Oh, well, I mean, if you really look at the results, I mean, it's working.
It's protecting working. Her face, I
if
guess.
If we all had one of those masks, we would have very pretty faces. And it'd be even prettier than they are.
The mask is that mask. I just want to I want to touch it because like how does it? It looks like it gets her like cheek implants.
Oh yeah, is there bone? Like is there like little knobs on it or something? That's like there's little mean. Like oh, yeah, on no. the on the she outside great, of it.
No, yeah, so I think it's like
structure.
I think it's like glitter or something, or I don't know if it's supposed to be like crystals on the outside of that mask. I don't know what it is, but it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She doesn't need all that. Her face is fine. Yeah. Like, just pick a, and it's the full thing. Like, either pick like lower half, like Hannibal, or like higher half, like the Incredibles. Like, pick one.
She kind of looks like the GIF when Dwight from The Office.
Oh my! No, you actually nailed it though, because that is exactly what it looks like.
I can't choose one, so I just Googled Carmella mask WWE, and these are all the ridiculous pictures that come up.
Why does it if you're look listening like that?
If you're listening to the audio version, please Google Carmella mask WWE and just laugh with us, because it's so ridiculous.
It's your sleep paralysis demon.
You know what I think it is? It's a double strap mask. So it straps at the top and then it straps like at the base of the neck. So I think that it creates that kind of like that gap around the cheek area. It makes her look like it makes her look crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I will just to be contrarian. I'm a fan of this mask.
That's a brave opinion for you.
That's all I could say about that. No, it's a good look. Yeah, it's wild. She does look a little like an alien in the mask, but what could you expect? I hope that they know that that's what we're get what the mask is giving, I should say.
All right, let's move on to some stuff really want to talk about. Other than like, also Zelina kind of knighted her there too. So like, if she comes out like Lady Carmella the next week, that'd be kind of funny as well. But anyways, sorry.
Or but like, that's it for the Yeah, no, we can move on. I'm like, that's we'll get there when we get there.
The Raw highlights of the week. All of the highlights can be found in a very easy and convenient playlist in your show notes or the show description box on the YouTube or your podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Next up, we're going to talk about NXT.
That's right.
Okay, so Mandy Rose comes out to celebrate her win, talking about how she's the new champion, how she beat Raquel Gonzalez at Halloween Havoc, blah, blah, blah. She then throws it to the back, like, where are my girls? Where's Gigi and JC? And they're in the back, like, beating the snot out of Zoe Stark until apparently she injures her knee or something. So Io has to come out and, you know, start basically throwing those bows at Mandy because Zoe was Io's partner. They are the former women's tag team champions. They're the ones who lost their title in the Stairway to Hell match last week. But as Io was standing up to Mandy and then people started throwing bows and stuff, Casey Cannizzaro and Mighty Casey from American Ninja Warrior.
Let's go with that. Yes. Casey Catanzaro.
Catanzaro. Yeah, and Lacey. What, is that still her name? Right?
No,
Caden Carter. Caden. She did change her name. Yeah, Caden. Yes. They came out to fend them off. So next week we're going to get Toxic Attraction versus Io Shirai, and they don't even have a team name, but Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. Gia, what was your thoughts about these clips here?
Wait, this was awesome. I'm obsessed with Io Shirai. Oh my god, I love her.
Yes, and, right answer. Yeah. That is the correct.
Yes,
answer.
I
even though there are no correct answers, that's still the correct answer.
That's right.
I have no idea who most of these people are or what their storylines are or anything, but I absolutely loved her. I loved her look. I loved her whole. Her whole bit in this and the tact. I don't know what the rest of that team is. I don't think we saw them in anything else, but
these three that are on the screen here.
Yeah.
Casey.
Yeah. So this is Casey Catanzaro.
Caden, right?
Caden. And what happened was, I think a few, like maybe a month or so ago, Toxic Attraction took them out. So they have been off screen for a while. So now they came back to give Io backup because they're mad at Toxic Attraction.
Wait, sorry. I'm just staring at this pic. I didn't realize when we were watching the show, I don't normally realize these details until the photos. Why do they both have this like leg? They both have like a right leg. Casey and Caden both have like a right leg situation. Yeah. You know, like they're, again, like the Tomb Raider type of thing. That's very popular.
Very popular
in NXT right now. I think Mandy Rose is going for the same. So look, I'm just saying Tomb Raider straps are in this fall.
I love it.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
Yeah, so they Gia, so they don't have a name. They're just returning.
Okay. Yeah.
But keep going. What did you think? These
two. Oh yeah. Loved Io. I thought she was really fun to watch. She was obviously it was a weird start because it ended up being three against one for a long portion of it. And I'm guessing that so they could advertise that this is what it's leading to. But Mandy was obviously supposed to be the bad guy in this one and was reveling in her title and Toxic Attraction as well. Yeah. That whole crew, but absolutely obsessed with Io and all that she brought to the table for this bit. Loved it.
Yeah. And I just will add, like, kind of going back in time a little bit to the start of this promo, I personally want to give kudos to Mandy Rose for the opening promo because I did feel like she did a really good job compared with I have to add the qualifier. She did a really good job compared with people who like don't have experience in actually responding to the crowd. Like she was like, they were cheering for her, chanting for her, you deserve it. And she's like, thanks. I know. I don't need to hear that from you. And that like shut people up. And I was like, mm-hmm. ooh, I like what she's doing here. Cause she knows how to connect. She did. And I think I kind of in the promo felt like I was seeing glimmers of her realizing that this is like her moment compared with all the other times we've seen her over the years, Mari. And that was cool. And so I appreciated that. What I didn't appreciate and thought was very awkward in all of this, and weirdly, there's a picture of it, like exactly the moment. She missed her punch, her initial punch on Io Shirai. Like that was the whole moment.
This was the whole horrendous.
She literally missed, but it looked so much worse in the video and the show. She takes a swing and the angle, like she misses Io by a mile with that punch. After that, it was fine, but that was the thing where I'm like, "Damn, Mandy, come on!"
Yes, and this picture is so bad. You can tell women don't post these pictures because, like, first off, you can tell that the punch missed, but you see her hair, you can see where her hair and her extensions are coming apart in this picture.
You really can.
Like, who did this? Like, why would you do this to Mandy?
That was so mean.
No, it's obviously men. It's obviously all men. But
you could tell, like, the beginning of the promo was really, it was kind of stilted, but it seemed like she got her bearings as it went along. I'm happy for Mandy. I'm happy for Mandy. I'm going to say good things. I'm going to say good things first. I'm happy for her. She has been in the business for a while. This is her first championship. She went back down to NXT from the main roster. She's like ahead of developmental right now. Like she is the top woman in their developmental brand. So good for her. Okay. I don't care about any of these people. Toxic Attraction does nothing for me. I'm sorry. They don't do anything for me. If anybody does do anything, it would be Mandy Rose. And I still feel there's a barrier she has not gotten over. Maybe it's because I followed her since her Tough Enough days and her just coming into the business of just being like a fitness model. I see her growth. But I guess I just expected more from her because I feel like she should be way further than she is right now. But the whole point of being back down in developmental is for her to grow and get better.
I appreciate you. First of all, I will say I appreciate you starting with the positive because I was literally about to say, let's start by saying nice things first, which I think whenever we have to start with that, it's kind of some indication of things. I like her in this role here because while she has everything you said, I think I agree with it. It's spot on. But, you know, even if she's not perfect, I think this is a good spot for her because a lot of people can still learn. They can still learn a lot from her. And then maybe they'll get to the point where there are other people who are a lot more experienced, but they could learn a lot of like solid foundational stuff from her. Like I don't have a problem with her foundations. She has a good foundation.
After you just talked about her missing a punch wildly, but whatever.
Well, okay. She missed it. It was a good punch. It just did not hit.
So
like punch someone in the face.
And then I have to continue with like Gigi and JC again do nothing for me. Gigi is mildly problematic and JC is invisible.
What did she do and why is there an ad for Wendy's right now at the bottom of www.com?
I could go for some fries though.
God, I need to get that ad blocker. You did talk about this. She was associated with somebody who I don't remember, but who was definitely a creeper of some sort, perpetrating things. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Well, she could be canceled too.
Yeah. I'm just not a fan. And then Casey and Kaden, they don't move the needle for me either. So. About to fight them. Okay, cool. Now, I guess also my biggest problem here, and this will be the last thing I complain about before we move on to our next batch of clips, is Io Shirai. Io Shirai is the best women's wrestler on the planet comma after Sasha Banks. So it is still bothersome to me that she is still in developmental. And not only that, she is going into a feud here with Mandy to put Mandy over, because let's be real, Mandy needs to learn. Mandy needs to look good, and she needs to look good against Io. So once Io loses this, they need to put her on the main roster. I'm going to assume that her and Mandy are going to play out over the next few months or so. And then what I'm hoping is we get Io in the Royal Rumble. And then maybe that's how she makes her jump over to the main roster. But it's maybe just like,
she wins it. Who knows?
Io's not winning the belt back. She just got
I meant the Royal Rumble.
Oh, the Royal Rumble. Oh, that'd be cool.
That's not gonna happen. Who am I kidding? That's not happening. That's not gonna happen. But I mean, you know, you could
Bailey could possibly win it this year.
Oh. I think I don't if she's returning.
Well, we'll speculate with that later. But
later.
Yeah, so I'm just like, Io is about to do the job for Mandy, which again, if you're hopefully she's going to the main roster, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see it personally.
No.
I personally don't want to see it.
You know what? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, because I almost let that slide, Mari, but it doesn't, because if you're going to the main roster and you want to have momentum, like win your last match, even if it's not obviously not a title match, but win your last match, go out strong, debut on the main roster, look strong. I think Io Shirai is someone who, I mean, I'll say this more broadly. I think that WWE does a really, not think, I know that WWE does a really bad job, especially with like their, well, in, specifically like their Japanese superstars. I feel like they struggle with telling stories with them. And like I think of Kairi Sane, who's a wrestler that we've talked about on here a little bit before. I think of Asuka even, who is insanely popular, but who still WWE kind of dropped the ball with time and time again. And I just think you know, I'm kind of worried for Io, because I see the patterns. I see the patterns, and hopefully they could figure out how to write for people who are, you know, like maybe not like the best at it. Well, she's good enough in English, but like maybe not like the typical prototypical WWE woman.
English is their second language. They have a really big problem with writing. Really big problem writing for most of their talent. So let's
What am I talking? Well, yeah. And then it's like that added barrier to it. Right. And so we'll see what they do with Io. This is one of the things where it's like, if there's anything we can enjoy with her now, I'm going to really try to enjoy it while it's still good.
Exactly.
Because it's not going uphill.
All right, let's move on to, I think this was very good batch of clips here this week. We got Tommaso Ciampa was out in the ring, basically addressing, he beat Bron Breakker at Halloween Havoc. Earlier in the night, Bron said that he wanted another shot at Tommaso's championship. Tommaso basically was like, meh. I'm going to fight whoever, but it's my championship. That's why I'm kind of like paraphrasing. But all that to say, Carmelo Hayes comes out to confront Tommaso Ciampa to say that he is the A champion. in a very, very good promo, him and Trick Williams did a very good job of, you know, coming out there, like talking their talk, getting all of their punchlines off. Just for the crowd is chanting, you know, Ciampa's going to kill you. And Ciampa correctly used the crowd to his advantage. He said that Carmelo doesn't believe anything he's saying in his eyes. And that basically, like, you know, he's the champion. So Tommaso, you know, leaves the ring because Trick and Carmelo are about to headline NXT. And that's what Carmelo's saying. He's like, look, I'm the A champion because I'm the one who's main eventing. As Ciampa walks away, Johnny Gargano comes out. There's a myriad of history between the two of them. They kind of just stare at each other.
Yeah.
But we get Johnny and Dexter coming out to go up against Carmelo. and Trick. And this is one, this is another one where we use kind of clips that weren't WWE, because I wanted Gia and everybody who uses our playlist to see the full list. I mean, see the full match here between Trick Williams and Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes versus Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano, because it was a really, really fun match. Very fun match.
I'll also say for the playlist, something to note is that the unofficial clip, because we do have the WWE clip, the unofficial clip for very some blurry reason says October 2nd, by the way, instead of November 2nd as the date, which I was like looking at this clip like, what? They had a match a month ago too, the same match. What happened? Wait, what?
So I think they titled it differently to throw the copyright off or something.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's smart. I don't understand YouTube. We're on same. It, but I don't get it.
I really just like this match. It was just really, really fun, and I think the right people won. Gia, what did you think about this?
This was so much fun. What a roller coaster that I was watching this. But I had no idea. So they didn't even say who Trick was, I'm assuming, because most people would know who he was in the first clip. So I'm like, oh, Carmelo brought a friend. And then I didn't realize that it was but then I realized it was Trick Williams, and that's because they are about to do a tag team match. I think I saw the Rhea Ripley ones first, but then this was the first of the men's tag teams that I've seen. It was really fun to watch. The crawling on the knees part at the beginning there was a lot going on there, but it was it was a way to start the match, but it was really fun. I was definitely rooting for Carmelo and Trick. They just seemed like these very boisterous personalities, and they were very, they were feeling themselves that match, and I thought that they were a really entertaining duo to root for in here. And the confrontation with, I'm sorry, how do you pronounce his last name again? Tommaso's.
Ciampa.
Yeah. Tommaso Ciampa was like, that got very deep. It was, look into your eyes and you don't actually believe that you're the best. I was like, oh, this is WWE got deep. Yes.
Yeah. I did feel that when he said it. Delivery.
You're bringing it up, the
delivery of it too. Like, ooh. Yes.
And Carmelo was looking around like,
Carmelo's about to go on a journey. But so that was so much. The whole thing was so much fun, and it was really fun to get to know them and have. I think Trick was really the one that was like the hype man of the two. Yeah. I don't know if that's like a recurring thing for both of them. Mm-hmm. But then Carmelo was, I think, the one that was mostly in the ring for the majority of the tag team. So I thought they were a really good balance for each other.
Yeah, exactly that. Carmelo and Trick are technically the bad guys here. They are the bad guys, but they are very, very over with the crowd. Yeah, like they're the And Johnny and Dexter are the. I don't know if there's many. I don't know if there's actual alignments here. It's just people rooting for who they wanted to root for, really. Because I mean, yeah, whatever. But like Johnny and Dexter's friendship is so funny because they're so weird, and you know, I love how the announcers just keep calling them father and son.
I don't know about that,
the marriage and all that. It's really funny.
I think they should say, I just want to say, just go like full on daddy. Call him daddy. Like,
oh god.
If we're gonna go, I mean, just go all the way.
Do it, you cowards.
Yeah,
and then. And then after the match, we got Johnny Gargano talking about how disappointing it is that they lost, but he's still coming for like Carmelo's title, which is so great. This is just great because Carmelo is the champion. The reason why Trick Williams is still developmental, he hasn't been wrestling that long. That's why he's, wasn't doing as much. Carmelo is, I think he was an indie talent, or at least he's been wrestling for a while now. And then with Gargano, with it being Gargano versus Carmelo, that's going to be a really good like passing of the torch match, because even Johnny was like, Carmelo, you keep talking about how you're the leader of the new school of NXT. Well, yeah. When people think of NXT, they think of me, Johnny Wrestling. So, you know, he felt like he has to put that to bed. So this really is another one of those clash of the new school versus the old school. I think it's going to be such a good match when they do finally have a match for that championship. I think it's going to just, you know, put Carmelo over even more because, again, that's what Johnny, that's the changing of the guard. That's what Johnny is there to do for him. So,
yeah,
great storyline here in NXT 2.0.
Yeah, and I would even just add, like, the finish of this match was, like, cool to see how the team of Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams kind of, like, prove themselves as a team, even for this moment of just, like, Johnny being trying to stop the pin but Loomis getting pinned, and like everything you said on the team I think is so solid. And I didn't realize I was gonna love them as much as I do. It's only been like a few weeks truly since they've established themselves.
Like Carmelo won the breakout tournament, but Trick was just introduced when NXT flipped over, so they haven't been together for that long, and it's really working. Sorry, Gia, what were you saying?
Oh, that first picture is hilarious where Johnny's like reaching out like, no! Oh my God, I'm cracking up. But that was great. I think as someone that hasn't seen, you know, the prior storylines or really know too much about where these could possibly be heading, I definitely got attached to like certain wrestlers as like, these are the people that I'm rooting for in the match. But Johnny and Dexter were also incredibly entertaining during this match. It was really fun to just see everyone collaborate together, and all around it was so much fun. And now that I have more context for where this is probably going, I'm very excited.
Yeah, the way that the thing we referenced it earlier, the whole crawling thing is so weird to me. Like the it's so creepy.
It's supposed to be.
It's like a snake. I know, but it's like a snake just like slithering around. But I liked it. I appreciate
Loomis
that. I like the character.
The weird.
It's
character.
Different.
It's good.
It's different. Exactly. So moments. These moments.
Yeah.
Cool. That's wrestling.
That's wrestling. All right. And so, I accidentally formatted this wrong,
Oh my gosh.
I'm looking at the outline. I'm like,
there's a format. What are people talking about? We don't have notes. We don't have notes. Everybody turn away. We don't have a 115 page note doc. Don't see here. One episode.
So next up, we have to talk about Tony D'Angelo finally gets on Lashing Out with Lash Legend.
Oh my gosh.
I was dying during this segment. This segment had me cracking up.
This segment hit close to home for me personally.
Oh, right, because you're from
Jersey. It did trigger me. They referenced it. I also don't want to end up sleeping with the fishes. So I might have to recuse myself from this conversation. But
that is perfectly fine. Like, I thought this was so hilarious. So Tony D'Angelo has been trying to get on Lashing Out with Lash Legend for at least a good 3 weeks or so now. And so Lash Legend starts off with a little bit of the tea from last week's Halloween party. After that, she introduces Tony D'Angelo. She talks about how he was trying to get on our show. The producer had told him no, and then the producer just went missing. And then he was like, I don't know, he went on vacation or something. I don't know. And then she's like, well, we have our producer. What was his name? Like Mark or something? He's right here.
Mark.
And so she shows up, like, bandaged and taped up, scared to sit by Tony D'Angelo. And then Tony is like, hey, Mark, how you doing? How's your wife doing? How your kids? Tell your kids.
How's your wife Lori doing? How's Lori doing? How your kids doing? Georgie? How's Georgie? Bacon? Yeah. How's the tire swing from your house?
Oh, my God.
How's doing? Yeah? Beautiful wife. Beautiful kids. Big house. Nice house. He almost probably doxed him and said his address or something. But it was like, it was intense. I feel very bad for Mark. And it was a nice little...
I'm crying right now. That's how funny that storyline was to me. It was like, why am I laughing at somebody being openly threatened?
but it's wrestling.
Gio, what did you think?
What even was this? Like, it does not connect with anything. We don't see any of these people again. And then, for this match. And then he wants, just continuity thing, he wants to be on for supposedly 3 weeks and finally gets on. And then he gives her money to end early. Just the inconsistency. Which is it, Tony? You can't have it both ways, but apparently he can. So, yeah, oh my God. It was so funny. Lash seems wonderful. Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Gotta get your nails done, gotta get hair done. So I would have accepted the money too, but I don't even know what to make of this. It was so random, but I am not mad about it.
Yes, yeah. This is their developmental brand, so they are way more focused on character development. And so Lash Legend, this is her show. They have some vignettes and some promos have structure to it. So her show, Lashing Out with Lash Legend, it's definitely been sort of a Wendy Williams style show. And this is the first of its kind, in a sense, with we've had talk shows in wrestling where they do it in the middle of the ring live, but this is a backstage fully produced one. And that's a good thing, because you can tell she's still, this is still a new character for her. She's still trying to warm up to this. So you can tell that she's still a little nervous. I feel like she's still a little nervous, but it's still she's been doing so well in all of these so far. And then
I hate that fake crowd, by the way, that fake crowd, because they keep cutting to it. And it's this. The color gradient doesn't even match up, people. You got this off of stockphotography.com, because
stock photos.
It's just so weird how they film it.
It is weird. Yeah, it really is. But it was just so funny. Tony wanted to talk. I don't even know what he originally wanted to talk about. I think he wanted to promote himself before he had to start fending off charges for Mark. And I just thought, Mark was no, I have no clue what happened. After Tony told him his whole social security number, basically on the set. Yeah. And Gio pointed out, Lash started asking questions and he was I don't want you asking any more questions. So he bribed her to end the show early. It was just, oh my God, this was just so fun. I loved every second of this. Tony D'Angelo is blowing up online. People love his character. And this is doing great for Lash Legend. I don't know what happens now, because this feels like this has wrapped up that little story arc that they've had that we didn't even know was going to turn into a story arc.
Yeah.
But it's just been so funny and so amazing, and he's gonna do big things. And this is where he did call out bigger name stars. He called out Ciampa. He called out all the bigger name stars. So far we've only seen him in squash matches against jobbers who aren't really worth it. So I wonder where this pivots to. I want to see Tony D'Angelo in a long form storyline feud, because I want to see that character translate, because it's been gold so far. It really is. I was legit just crying on this podcast. It's just so funny. If nothing else, guys, go and watch this clip, because it was hilarious.
And it might be triggering for you if you don't know anything about Secaucus, New Jersey, which he mentioned Secaucus. You don't want to go. You don't want to end. It's all Secaucus isn't a place that you go to. It's a place that your body's taken to and dumped. So just saying, you want to avoid Secaucus. There's a lot of illicit activity that's happened there. Don't check the water in Secaucus. There are probably some snitches. So I'm just warning you, stay away. And that's what we've got. But no, this is awesome. And I hope that they don't take a step back from giving him these different, just giving him more character work time in general, whether it's in the ring or otherwise, because that's where he shines most. So let's hope they keep doing it, because it's fun.
Yep.
And that's wrestling.
That's
the catchphrase. That's right.
So next up, we had Zion Quinn versus Robert Stone. Okay, so I did not see this one coming. So last week at the Halloween party, Robert Stone started running his mouth to Zion Quinn, so Zion Quinn put Robert Stone through a table. So this week, Robert Stone basically called Zion Quinn out to like kind of like go toe to toe, but then Robert Stone started like dancing and singing to Frankie Monet's music, which is
literally some of my
favorite.
I feel like I'm missing something, Mari. I'm missing something. How did we get here?
How did we get to the dancing, or how did we get to Frankie
Monet? How do we get to the point we have a wrestling podcast where we're talking about people just singing and dancing in the ring?
I don't know. This is how we got here, but
I mean, there was some wrestling involved.
I mean, this is literally one of my favorite songs. It was like bougie bad, and Robert Stone was just dancing around to it for a good long time. I was watching this live and I'm like, what is happening right now? I was just waiting for Zion Quinn. And Zion Quinn was just standing there, very silent, very just demure, watching Robert Stone just look like a madman on like some sort of like he has that his romp him on. He had a nice romp him on with some what are those, some loafers. He had to the way he was acting is like he just went like face first into like a pile of white. Like he was just all over the place. And so Zion Quinn was just standing there all calm. And I'm like, okay, we're going to wait. He's going to just pile drive him and we're going to keep it moving. But then all of a sudden, Zion Quinn snatches the mic, and then Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy comes on, and he starts singing and dancing. Shawn.
I think cute. I know I'm sexy.
Yeah. And was this a dip that he did on Robert Stone? I was confused. Nice, it was like some pelvic gyrations. Gia, what was going on here?
What I would give to be Robert Stone in this picture. I swear to God. Oh, that man. Zion is fine. Oh my God. You like the song did not lie, but it made no sense with anything else that I watched this entire week. So I just did not get what place it had in there, but had this lovely man on my screen. So I managed to get through the clip, I will admit.
Would you want to be dirty dancing?
I think. Oh my God, no! I'd be so embarrassed. I feel like I'd freak out. Like I'm very short, so it's just like it's a long fall. I am not professionally trained, so I don't know. I feel like that would not be my best moment. The dip, like you're already close to the ground at that point.
Don't knock it until you try it, though.
I mean, like, listen, if he said, do you want to do, like, the dirty dancing lift, I probably would say yes. Would it be the best for my safety? Probably not.
Exactly. Fair enough. I was like, he dirty dancing them. He dirty dancing. I was so confused. But it was really fun, though. Like everybody was like, oh, man, he was supposed to be a badass. Like, why are they doing this to him? I'm like, guys, not every big man needs to stand there and be scary. Like if he has the charisma to pull it off, which he clearly does, because there's a lot of good responses to it, then let him do it. Like it is okay for you to have fun while also beating ass.
Like, can we get that on a t-shirt? You can have fun while also beating ass.
With like a little RHAP bell at the bottom of the little shirt or something on the back.
Someone tag Rob in this clip. He has a great new business.
We're about to get fired.
I know, I'm not getting fired because I don't endorse this. I mean, I guess we'll both be done because I'm not doing this podcast without Mark. But I will say, I do just want to stress what you said, Mari, is that, like, just to put it very simply, like, he doesn't fit the stereotype that people had in their heads looking at him, and a lot of people are not comfortable with that. So, like, be bothered. Like, it's not for you, to quote Mari Ford. It's not for you. Not everything is for you. It's cool. Exactly. Just eat your damn Cheerios. That's that a part. Quote, probably a quote from you. I think that's a quote.
To my son.
No, this was,
yeah, like he's still big and strong and like muscular.
Yes.
I'm just leaving this picture up.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I agree though. Like what I didn't realize there were some negative reactions to it. It was a fun clip. It wasn't anything serious. It doesn't need to be serious. Like let the strong man have fun, you know? Like is it really like let him have a personality. Let him be flamboyant and like do fun things sometimes, you know, like not everything has to be serious all the time. Like strong men can have fun too.
Exactly. They've been building this up too.
Wait, let me write
what strong men can have fun too.
We can work. Yeah. That could apply to a lot like Survivor, Big Brother, maybe.
Yeah.
We're like,
oh my God. Yeah. There's so many people that could apply to.
One of the first things we were introduced to him was like he was going through the back of the performance center. He had opened the door for some ladies and a guy had like cut in front of the ladies to get through the door. And he like pummeled the guy up against a wall and like let the ladies go in first, you know? And then he had plenty of squash matches. And then after this match, he was like walking backstage and all of a sudden Electra Lopez said something like, "Ooh, you look good." It was on the show. It was really weird. Like there was a lot of like comments where like people were like Imperium had a promo where Toxic Attraction walked by and they were like, "Oh, Toxic Attraction are like sexy." It was a very weird episode. Somebody tweeted out everybody in NXT is very horny, which I was like, something like that, because people were just hitting on people randomly. But
you know what? Actually, no, I'm glad you mentioned something because I did over the last like 2 months of NXT 2.0, I've kind of, you know, it has been like more salacious. We'll get like some cursing in there, cussing as some people like to say, I don't know who they are, but you know, I just think like there's definitely something going on there. And to quote the infamous, famous Jenny Autumn, I refuse to use the H word. I will call it the H word. The H word's to quote Jenny, everyone is very H'd up over in this podcast. Mari, you're going to get clipped and you're going to end up on RHAP out of context. And that won't be
me. I'm fine with that. I'm so fine with that. So yeah, this was just a fun, you know, sometimes just don't take stuff seriously, you know, like, honestly.
Yeah, but it is kind of like, the thing is, there's so much more character work and character development on NXT now than there was like 3 months ago in that version of NXT. So you gotta love it. It's fun for us as fans. Just like, even if these characters don't stick around or evolve or develop, like, we still have the memories, right?
Right, exactly.
That's what it's about.
Well,
we do.
Then in the picture. Next up, we got Dakota Kai. They didn't show. She kind of in the backstage promo thing. She kind of walked past Mandy and Toxic Attraction because she helped Mandy get the belt, and she said something to them. I don't know, but Dakota Kai. Debuted some new entrance music and a new attitude, and she had a match versus Cora Jade where she basically just tore poor Cora Jade apart. Cora Jade is only 20 years old, Dakota. You didn't have to do all that to her. But
this match was very interesting.
Okay, like, why would I say that?
So from just like the outside of the character stuff standpoint, so Dakota was doing a lot of talking in the match, and she was, I don't know if she was calling moves in the match or reminding Cora of what their moves were supposed to be, but the commentators kept referencing it like, ooh, Dakota looks like she's talking to herself. And like, you could even like make, you know, just say that she's like trash talking Cora, but mm-hmm. it was very clear to me that Dakota was leading Cora through this match. And that's what happens when you have someone who's so new and a veteran, so truly. And mm-hmm. so I appreciated Dakota for that. I love Dakota Kai. I think she's what I can't say with her position now that she's like one of my favorites, but like she's up there. She might be like top 10 women for me in WWE right now. And she's only going up from here. Right. This was interesting though. She was disturbed. Is she okay?
Yeah. I think that's what they're trying to go for. Like they're trying to say like, she was like talking to herself, but she was clearly, like you said, talking to Cora.
Yeah.
But I love Dakota. And again, I'm so mad that she's on NXT. I want her to be on the main roster more than anything. But she just showed how ruthless and vicious she is. And Cora Jade here has been the consummate, like, punching bag. So that's why, like, she's so over and people know she's so young. But her boyfriend, Trey Baxter, just got released today. So, and they were kind of building up some romance angle between the two of them, so he was just on the screen, if not this week, last week. So I don't know where Cora's storyline goes from there then, now that he's gone. But this was just a serviceable match. This was a squash match to get Dakota Kai like looking like a brute again. Gia, any thoughts about this match?
No, nothing too new from what you were saying. This felt very one-sided, probably the most one-sided one of what we saw this week. But, you know, it was barely saw any of Cora. It was very clearly about Dakota. I saw from the previous part that this was like her reemergence from Halloween Havoc that was announced. Yeah. So it was definitely just meant to highlight her. And she seems very cool, very fun, like very intriguing person. So very intriguing wrestler. So, you know, it's not, I'm not mad about it. The whole segment at the end where she's like taking her sweet time, putting a table over, like over Cora for like, and debating whether she wants to just squash her or like do a box with him. I was just like, what even is this? Like, I think you said this for an earlier one too, but like, what were the refs doing for this? It's like, no, don't. Like, you're above this. Don't do it. I'm like, ref, like, I know this is part of the performance, but as someone that just like forgot for a moment, I just like, you're the ref. It's literally your job to make sure she doesn't get squashed by a table. But it's for character development. It's for growth, but I was cracking up during this part, and also like, is she gonna do it? But also, that seems very unsafe.
But I thought that this was like the most intriguing part of all of it, because you think like, what's she gonna do? This is usually, people are thrown through tables. They don't have tables put on top of them all the time. Yeah. And so I was wondering, it looked like maybe, you know, she wasn't gonna do like an elbow drop jumping down onto the table, which she could have done. Maybe she was gonna jump down and stomp onto the table, which wouldn't have been fun. And then she just kind of left the skateboard there and then left. And I think that's interesting, because like, you don't really get, we're just kind of left wondering like, okay, what's your motivation? What's going on in your head? You are clearly off, friend.
My thought process was, you know, we saw her like digging graves. So this is like kind of like a symbolic like burial. Like she's kind of like, you know, like she kind of buried her under, I don't know. But not like burial as in the wrestling term burial. Yeah. So that's the only thing I can think of.
That's wise, Mari. That's very wise.
And that's the only thing.
I like it. I like the theory.
It was definitely very intriguing. It was like, it made me want to see what happens next.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. I completely agree, Gia. I want to know where we're going from here, because like Matt said, we are big Dakota fans. Yeah. So we just want to see where she goes now. So Yeah. And we're finally going to talk about this. Matt brought this MSK.
Don't drop clip on here.
I thought you were tired of talking about MSK. That's why I didn't originally include it. But since you wanted to include this, why don't you walk us through the MSK clip here?
No, Matt? I mean, all look, I'm not that excited to talk about them, Mari. Now I need to be cool and pretend like I don't care. But basically, we got a promo, a segment of MSK at a bus stop sitting under a tree randomly at some place. Yeah. And they were just talking. They were waiting for the bus. They lost their championships. So I guess they have to take the bus now. Is that how that works? Is everyone who's on the bus? Like, when I guess, to be fair, like, I haven't had a championship and I take the bus. Like, maybe if I'm champion, then I won't take the bus.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, do you get black card service like at when you're a champion? Like, they send a car for you?
I think they do. They must. But yeah, they miss the bus. But the segment was interesting to me. The thing I appreciated about that little promo was that it was time for them to do character work. And I remember, as dissatisfied as I have been with MSK in a lot of ways in recent times, one thing I do remember saying was their strength is like their personalities, their segments. And they weren't getting a ton of that truly in like the last couple months. And so they got that. And I thought it was fun. There were lots of like jokes in there and things that came up, like, but I just want to say, I appreciate that they're able to kind of be themselves and shine. And this was also interesting because they didn't have a crowd to boo them throughout their segment either. So, it was good just to kind of see that develop. But I mostly was curious to hear your thoughts, Mari, because you're the MSK stan of the world. So, tell me how this was great.
No, I just thought this was funny. Everything you said, it was just like, we still don't know what their name MSK means. So they dragging it on. That like, like, we don't know what it means. And then they started referencing like the man behind the curtain. I have no idea what that means.
Freaky.
I don't even. Weird.
Yeah, that's too much. Like, that's a story. That's OK. So Mari, with the important details of what's coming up. But yes, we're going to, I do appreciate that we're going to get some like tension of what does MSK stand for? Because I don't think that either of us really cared or thought about it for 2 seconds. Like, we're just like, okay, that's their name. Sounds great. Let's go. Exactly. Let's do it. That's the least exciting or interesting thing about them, but yet they still managed to make it really interesting. And then now there's someone who's going to show up and be a guru or what? I'm not ready for it, Mari.
So that's what I'm like looking it up, because I know when they were the Rascals, there's three of them, but the third guy had specifically not signed on. So I think Trey Miguel was the third guy. So I don't know if he's going to come over to be there.
I think it's going to be someone really random and disappointing.
Oh, they said he's the current X Division champion on TNA, so I don't think.
Impact. We tried.
Yeah, well, he is the current.
It's going to be somebody random. It's probably going to be like a former WWE tag team champion, like Devon Dudley or something like that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We don't care. Well,
I can't remember. Anyways, all right. So
he's just annoying, you know, like these old veterans who have a lot of things to say, and it's like nobody asked.
Exactly. Nobody asked.
Just let us enjoy it without dragging people. Thank you, sir. Devon, if you're listening to this podcast, thank you for your contributions to wrestling. And remember to become a patron. Thank you.
We gotta ask Gia what she thought.
I loved them.
They were so cute. They were just this little joyous duo, even though they're like down on their luck because they lost the title. It was like, oh, I love them. If they were on Survivor, I'd definitely be rooting for them. They just like lost an ally with an idol in their pocket or something. But
very much that type, right? Like
I would definitely root for them. They seem like just an entertaining pair, and then they have this intrigue about this mysterious person that's training them, the man behind the curtain. I don't know. I have no idea what it refers to, but they were so much fun. And then it was a little corny bit where they were explaining the story as the bus came, yeah. But I wasn't prepared for the end part where they're like, oh, that was our bus. And they just did a little piggyback ride off to where they need to go to. So I this is another one like the Zeon Quinn one. It was, you know, it's obviously leading. This one's obviously leading to something, but mm-hmm. It was just fun to watch. And it was a really fun segment with them, and it was enjoyable.
Yeah, it's definitely a back to square one, back to basics, mm-hmm. like just get back to why, you know, you were over as a tag team before. Like some faces just work better when they're chasing the title as opposed to holding the mm-hmm. title. Mm-hmm. And plus for them, they came into WWE, they immediately entered a tag team tournament, and then the titles were put on them after they won the tournament. So we literally have not seen them without the titles, basically, give or take a few like weeks or so. So this is where they're going to start from square one. We're going to see them build back up. And it's just going to be great because they have a fresh start, fresh new lease now that maybe they banned some of those booing fans. So it's going to be
fans booing them for no reason.
Why are people booing them?
Haters. And it was just people who are bitter about like mm-hmm. comments that one of them made outside of wrestling. It just mm-hmm. like fans have a lot of power in terms of like just because you could hear them literally, and they could get other fans
every person
too. And it's like a small audience too, so that wasn't fun, but I think that things are turning around for them for the better. I maybe this just says a lot about me, but I was like anxious that I was hoping that they'd get on the bus. I was very upset that they missed the bus because I still kind of wonder what happened. I mean, they walked, but like how far of a walk did they have to walk to get where they were going? I don't know. Lots of unanswered questions.
I'm getting very buddy comedy from them. Like they're about to go on a journey to discover themselves or to train to reclaim their title. So
all the above.
Yes. Yes. I enjoy this. I liked the MSK bit.
Yeah.
Huh. What if MSK doesn't? What could MSK stand for?
I have no clue.
Man selling cake with a K?
I don't know, but the day we find out is going to be special. Yeah.
Let us know if you're listening and you think you know what MSK stands for. Leave it in the comments on YouTube. Drop it in the review that you leave for us for this podcast when you give us five. You know, like anything. You know, hit us up.
Yeah. Tag us on Twitter. What's your best guess of what MSK is as well?
Tweet MSK and ask them what it stands for and use hashtag wrestling rehap up. That's like RHAPUP. It's a mm-hmm. thing. Just, you know, this is very important and this is a major mystery that we need to solve. One day we will, but not tonight.
Yep. Cause that's it for our NXT highlights of the week. Let's move on.
Yeah. We're moving.
So finally, we're getting to our AEW highlights of the week. Yes, we are going to give you a little bit of AEW here because we are a tiny, tiny bit because we are running out of time here. Just one of the first things I just wanted to just touch on a little bit was we got Cody Rhodes versus Andrade on Dynamite this week. And they did the Road to Dynamite special, like on Cody, focusing on Cody Rhodes versus Andrade and Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter for the TBS Championship tournament. So first off, we get Cody Rhodes versus Andrade, and this was really good. I don't know if I realized they were like even feuding, but I love how they brought in that like, mm-hmm. I love how they brought up that like Andrade and Malakai Black are like best friends because in WWE, they both like traveled together because Malakai Black's wife was Andrade's manager. So they're all really close together. So, and
that was the least complicated way of explaining it, by the way, because I remember when my brain broke when I realized this, and I still haven't been able to draw the diagram of these two cross company relationships. It's very complicated. Yeah, exactly. Very complicated. Yeah, we won't even bother because it's very stressful to think about. But it's also, as Mari was saying, just to mention before cutting you off or before going back to you, Mari, Andrade is, oh my God, I'm getting confused. Is he married to Charlotte? Charlotte Flair.
They're engaged.
Engaged. But so
she
Andrade
didn't get to
is.
See Charlotte because
you
it's
didn't
not,
get to
no,
see Charlotte,
now.
But you did get to see Zelina, who Zelina was Andrade's manager, but Zelina is in a relationship
Black
of some sort
husband.
With Malakai Black.
Is
so
her husband?
It is.
Yes.
There's like a cross. There's a. I can't. There's a lot of relationships involved in this, and it's only four people, and I'm confused. Overwhelmed.
So we got Cody versus Andrade. Cody won, right? God,
Andrade
so
won.
Late,
wait,
did Andrade win? Oh, great!
I think he won.
Yeah.
I'm like Andrade my head, like my head is killing me at this point.
No, they. So what had happened was. Oh, well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about this match because. First of all, they had the promo leading up to it. Mari, I know like a few weeks ago we were talking about Arn Anderson, who talked about guns and this Glock, and he mentioned his Glock, and we don't have energy for that. Anyway, you know, the match, the way that this ended. Well, before I get to the finish, I just want to say JR Jim Ross, who's on commentary, like, I think he needs to retire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comments that he makes like in the match about like you can't trust those amigos. He's just not the best commentator anymore.
Is this the one that said the Native American death clock thing? Yes. Okay.
Or Native American death lock, which I should say because I'm Native American. I'm like,
this is a 116th Native American dude. Like, let's be real.
I've known this man for 20 years of him for 20 years of my life. And that's the first time I heard that. But also the thing I will say, not to even make it about that comment, which was also unnecessary, is like good commentators. And you'll notice this with WWE, like almost never say the word I. And it's maddening to me. But the second you realize it and you're watching WWE, you will not hear them say I. Almost ever, which is ridiculous, but you know, it's a thing. Anyway, Jim Ross could get these hands some other time. Anyway, I will say for the finish, FTR, Forever the Revival,
FTR,
I guess what that stands for, is like they popped out from under the ring, hit Cody
with
the championships, knocked him out, got Andrade, got him in the ring, pinned him, got the win. That was that. And I don't know. And I don't know if I was expecting Cody to win or what, but
I was. I completely forgot about this finish. It's been so long.
Yeah.
But also, like, I agree with the commentary thing because JR and a lot they make a lot of mistakes. But also, I meant to say I don't like Raw's commentary team at all either.
No.
But it's different. It's because like Corey and I still don't know the new guy's name because I still am surprised he's still around.
Wait, is his name? Do you give me a first name, Mari?
I don't know. I literally cannot remember that dude's name. And
well, they changed him a few times.
They changed him a few times. Exactly.
Wait, Gia knows.
Wait, was it one of the three that were announcing at the very beginning of the first?
Yes.
One? Okay. Yeah. There. Corey Graves, Jimmy Smith, and Byron Saxton.
Jimmy Smith. Okay.
I would not have remembered
that.
Honestly, I'm not.
Not us getting taught something on our own podcast. Like, because that's the play-by-play guy, Gia, and they've switched that dude out at least three times within the past 2 years since they've looked for a new one.
Mari, in the last seven years. months. Like, since April, they've switched. They literally had like 1 week where they had some 2 weeks, I think, where one person was in the role and then they literally fired him / he quit.
Yes.
And
then they brought up Vic Joseph for a minute, who is now in NXT.
we don't get to attack because
that commentary booth is just really bad because Corey tries to do play by play and then, but the other guy tries to do play by play, but he doesn't know all the right moves. So he calls the wrong moves. Corey corrects him and it's just not a good rapport. So I just had to point that out before people thought that. Yeah. Like people, you know, I just want to give some balanced reporting in the sense of we hate both of those commentary teams.
Well,
the only great commentary team is SmackDown.
Hate is a strong word.
Okay. You know what I mean? Not hate.
We just like to watch the matches on mute.
But yeah, okay. I'm sorry, guys. Yes, Andrade did win. FTR did get in the middle of it. I just wanted to talk about it because I thought that they did a really good job of introducing it on the Road to Dynamite thing. But next up, so me and Matt, we were talking about this. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but the TBS Championship Tournament bracket had for the women's secondary title, that started a few weeks back. And now we have an updated bracket. Matt is going to bring it up. But we had Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter on this week's Dynamite. And Jamie is like Britt Baker's right-hand woman. And Anna Jay of the Dark Order was trying to say that, you know, Britt is nothing without Jamie. And Jamie is like such a follower and all she does is follow Britt. It was a really, really good promo here for the women. And but unfortunately for Anna Jay, Jamie Hayter beat her. But good for us is we're getting Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter, which I think they already had a good match together. I can't remember, but those are two really good women. I'm sorry, Matt, can you bring the bracket back up, please? And it's shaping up to be a good tournament. I just want to say, I don't know if we noted this, but how is Big Swole not on this list here? Like, how is that even freaking possible?
Could I? Look, here's my thing. No, but, you know, okay. Well, what is really, I don't want to start my sentence like that, but it is really annoying. But I'm going to just be calm and pretend. And we need a lot of levity in this podcast. Remember what we said at the beginning. We're all so positive about this. But you know what? This bracket is ridiculous. Like, literally looking at it, I am kind of confused because four people got buys to the second round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, like, all they needed to do was add four more people, and then you could have a two-sided bracket.
That's funny.
Like, well, you literally mentioned Big Swole as one person, but just get like three other women.
Yeah, that's true. But they decided not to. So the top four, yeah, I think it was like the top four women, like their record, they got the bye. So yeah, Thunder Rosa, yeah, Jade Cargill, Nyla Rose, and Chris Statlander all got the bye.
That's right.
Anna Jay went up against Jamie Hayter. She lost, so it'll be Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa at the top here. The Bunny and Red Velvet are the only match from the first round that we haven't gotten yet. So my thought is, how do you not do Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill again? Because they had a notoriously long feud together. So I could see you have Red Velvet beat the Bunny, so you automatically have some heat going into Red Velvet versus Jade Cargill again. But also, I would love to see Jade Cargill versus the Bunny as well, you know, for something new. So either way, I think that I think Jade will beat whoever comes out of that bracket, I feel like.
Well, I hope so, because I love Jade Cargill. She is like an Amazon, and I'm not talking about Survivor Amazon, an Amazon, all muscle on muscle stacked. I would love, I mean, but I don't, I'm not going to get in the mode where I say I hope that she advances and does really well in the tournament, because that's where we get ourselves into trouble of being disappointed. So I'm going to avoid disappointment and just say I'm excited that we'll get Jade on our TV. And I like all of them, all of these women, actually, that we'll get them on our TVs wrestling. I'm not clear on one thing with this tournament, which is, so their debut, I know they're debuting on this is the TBS Women's Championship Tournament. They're debuting on TBS January 5th, they said.
Yeah, January 5th. Uh-huh. Yep.
So this,
So this tournament is going to keep going. They're going to push this through the end of the year so that the finals will be on that first episode that's on TBS, so they can crown the champion on TBS.
I guess I'm just a little thrown off because WWE, like with their, they just had the Queen's Crown tournament, which Selena obviously won the King of the Ring, which Xavier Woods, who we're not, who we didn't really talk about this episode, won. And that, those took place over like 2 weeks. So
yeah, they did. Yeah.
I'm not used to, I'm like, I have to remind myself like, oh yeah, it's normal for a tournament to like take more than like a night or 2 weeks.
Two nights. Yeah.
And it's good. It's good.
It's great planning on their part. More.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Exactly. And because we didn't have any clip here, but let me just finish out the bracket and then we'll ask Gia what she thought about it, at least the promos that Anna Jay gave against Jamie Hayter. Hikaru Shida. I was like, I said, I know I'm saying this right, but my brain just cannot focus on what the right way to say this is.
Also, I will say on the screen, like, I'm like squinting to see the font
because
it's so tiny on
Our little screen here. Yeah. She beats Serena Deeb, and it's going to be Shida versus Nyla Rose, which is great. We've seen this before. Shida has now become the first woman to get 50 wins on AEW. She's the first woman to do that, so that's so cool. And Nyla Rose, Nyla Rose versus Shida is, I don't even know. I like, that's going to be a toss up. I don't know who's going to win that. So that's really freaking awesome. They're both former women's champions.
Exactly.
I'm excited about that. And then we got Ruby Soho, formerly known as Ruby Riott on WWE. She beat Penelope Ford to go up against Chris Statlander for the next round. So either way, it's shaking out that we're going to get some really good matches in this second round here, which is probably why they gave those specific four women those buys. And I love me some Ruby Soho. So the further she can go, the better for me. I don't know if she'll win.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with her not winning, but I will. But I'm also happy with her winning. So we'll see.
Yes.
But you know what? Actually, I think at the end of this, like, I'm pretty sure we are going to be happy with the winner because, like, the bottom half of the bracket, we're seeing Nyla Rose, Shida, Chris Statlander, Ruby Soho. So we have those four as potential people who could win on one side of the bracket. On the other side, we already know we have Thunder Rosa. We have Jamie Hayter won that match, right?
Yeah, she won the match. Yeah.
And then Jade Cargill, and then Red Velvet the Bunny. But like, even just with the people who've already advanced, like, it's so solid. And
really?
So, like,
really
we'll
is.
Actually get women's wrestling in AEW, which we don't get a lot. And, you know, I appreciate the, even just like the diversity that we're getting of the women in this tournament. It's kind of refreshing.
Right. And so, and
compared
so
with compared with the rest of AEW, I should clarify.
So we'll definitely be following up with this storyline. Like, we will definitely see who's crowned. And Matt is totally right. At this point, I don't think there's no wrong choice here with this champion. My thought process is, I wonder if it will be a babyface champion, since this is a secondary title. Secondary titles do really well with open challenges. Plus, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, is already the top champion, and she's a heel. So I don't know if they want the two heel champions or if they want one babyface champion. So we'll see. Gia, that was a lot to throw at you.
A lot.
What did I learned so much
about that promo. Yeah.
The promo was so different from everything else that we watched this week. So it threw me off for a loop a little bit, but because I had no idea that this was something that was happening, but it was very cool to watch. It built up the suspense.
This is a different company. This is a different wrestling company altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got it. And then, so they were, you know, it definitely built up the suspense. It sounds really cool. I was also confused by the fact that four women were getting buys on a on a bracket like that. Yeah. But I'm like, what do I know? Like, I'm not here to critique. But that was really cool. It was like a 30 for 30 and how they do how they do the very dramatic camera work, and then they go to the person giving the confessional or the interview at that time. So it was like, oh, just like ESPN, it's like the last, say the last dance or something. I'm like very, like, do not take those comparisons, anyone listening, so seriously, because this is like my basic knowledge for how ESPN and other sports networks work. But yes, that was exactly what I thought when I watched this.
Wait, never mind. My brain's broken. I'm like stuck. I'm not sure whether you meant the Michael Jordan documentary or the movie with Julia Stiles in it.
No, I meant the Last Dance. The Last Dance Jordan one, which I know is like but then it definitely felt like a 30 for 30 style documentary where they give the. Give the interviews, and it goes to little dramatic scenes that happen in between. But yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, we just want to touch on Bryan Danielson. It'll be Bryan Danielson versus Miro in the finals of a championship contenders tournament. Like, I was really like, wait, there was a tournament happening? Like, I don't. Sure.
You know,
like,
of course. Dumb, Ari. So, you know, you're watching. We're watching. I'm watching every week. Every week we watch.
Full Gear
every
is
single week.
Full Gear is next week. So on the 14th. So we already know that Hangman Page, aka Cowboy Shit, I can't wait, is going up against Kenny Omega for the title. Again, I hope he beats him for it. But either way, he's going up against Kenny Omega for the title. So while they're doing that, they are also having a they also had like a contenders tournament. I don't know how like official the tournament was, but basically it's now down to Bryan Danielson versus Miro. So this is what I love. If this is one thing that AEW gets right, like while your champion is facing their current contender, build up the next one, like build up the next one, so that now once one of them wins, I guess I'm thinking more likely Bryan Danielson.
Well, no, it might be Miro. Stick with that prediction so that we could be on opposite sides, because I was gonna say Miro, because
it doesn't matter. Why not? One of them is winning.
And no, I don't know.
Whoever wins.
Yeah, one of them will win. Who
cares? Will then become the contender for the belt, which is, again, it's just genius. And it's not even genius, because it's common sense. But it feels like genius because WWE doesn't do this. WWE wants you to just expect whoever they say is the next contender deserves to be the contender, when it's like, but dog, they were just losing all last week. So I love this. This is, again, what AEW does right. So Miro versus Bryan Danielson, that's going to be great to watch at Full Gear. And just the last storyline to watch, I'm trying to wrap this up, but Kalisto did make his AEW debut as Samurai Del Sol. Him and Aero Star are a tag team. They went up against FTR for the AAA wrestling championships, which FTR still holds. That's a whole thing, but we're not going to talk about that today. So stick around.
Wait, I just want to say one more. Yeah. I want to make like one comment quickly, and I don't want to really go into this, but like, so there's a news story that I saw about Kalisto, who tweeted his debut. He misspelled the name John, the first Brody Lee, who passed away in December, and a lot of people are ragging on him for misspelling the name. I think it's great to show people respect, especially if they pass away, but like misspelling the name John from like J-O-H-N and J-O-N, like it happens. Like that's literally an autocorrect mistake. That's right, literally also, no, I'm not dragging him.
You scared, scared me the first half.
I'm just like Chris Jericho, who's like big name in wrestling and one of the main eventers in the company, decided to say that's disrespectful basically and tweeted it. And I'm just saying like, Kalisto, his first language is not English. People tweet all sorts of things. Typos are things. Like, we have to, like, he was, I think he was, he meant something well of saying he was, and he probably did think of John, aka Brody Lee, who was there. So I'm just saying, like, let's just be nice and show more love to people. That it's not even like the reason why I'm like, I don't want to talk about it because it's so petty. But I say that as someone who I think it's great to respect people, especially if they pass away. But like a misspelling does happen all the time in the world. It doesn't take away the emotion, the feeling, the memories that people have together. So just saying, fans, stay out of that one. And like, you know, just stay out of it because it's not your fight to get involved in.
Yeah, it's not. And I mean, Brody Lee's widow did say something as well, but I'm just like,
yeah, no, I mean, and you have to also think like it's, you know, that's like she could feel however she wants.
Yeah,
right?
She's
but
grieving.
It's not our business as fans to get involved in how people, you know, that. So that's up to them. But I just wanted to mention that because like that's a little negativity around his debut and. We don't like that. We're all about the levity here. We only talk about positive things, not releases or anything else, right? On this podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking of this podcast, I heard that we're getting toward the end of this episode, sadly.
That is the end of our highlights of the week. You can check out the playlist with all the highlights in your show notes or description. And you can follow along. Gia, it was so great having you. Can you tell us out of all of the clips that you watched this week,
please,
what did you like the most? Who caught your eye? Who, if you would want to us to follow up with you on, like who are you really want to know where their next step is like going?
First of all, Io Shirai, definitely, as I said before, love her. Oof, this is hard. I did really like the Becky Bianca storyline. So that was such a great, thank you for showing me that first, because that was a great one to kick things off with. So I'd love to see what happens with either of them or both of them. And, you know, I do really appreciate New Day. And I know a lot of people that I grew up with around really like Big E, Xavier and Kofi. So those are, you know, like those are definitely any content with them. I am always very happy with, even though this week we only saw Big E. Which was still
so bummed. Yeah, you didn't get to see King Woods or Sir Kofi.
I know. I have to go back and look it up because I heard it happen during the pun. I'm like, that actually sounds very funny. So I will be looking that up. But yeah, there's a couple, you know, those were definitely the big standouts for me. I really did like, Trick and Carmelo were also really fun. Tag team to go through their whole storyline and see what was happening with them this week. So I feel like those were the big standouts for me personally, but it was so exciting to get back to something that I really haven't watched in years, really. Mm-hmm. And in such a fun format. I love both of you and I love podcasting. So it was just a really great combination and it was so much fun to be here.
Oh, it was amazing to have you. And you know what? We are blushing. And I'll also say, Gia, just for you, here's a picture of the New Day.
Yes.
Big E. There we go.
So
that's
wonderful.
What we get. Only on YouTube, people. That's it.
Okay, tens across the board. Thanks, Joe. Oh yeah, Zion, my new love, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Strong men having fun, very important.
Strong men having
hashtag
fun.
Strong men can have fun too is the official hashtag of this podcast today. We should do, I mean, that's a long hashtag. If anyone wants to make the shirt, just let us know. We'll
buy one.
I'll consider buying one if it's. I mean, you know, it's a great slogan. I'm just saying. I don't want to make promises.
Oh my gosh, Gia, can you tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah, I tweet my Survivor nonsense at @classicallygia. I'm also doing weekly roundup recaps on Inside Survivor. So that's where my latest content is being posted. But if you want to see me give my nonsensical opinions, that's definitely on the personal Twitter page. So I would definitely recommend that. I would also recommend for anyone, whether you're a new Survivor fan or a old, like an old Survivor fan, like, you know, to follow the Survivor Diversity Campaign page. It's a whole team of us, but with the new diversity initiatives that are happening, that is the page to follow to get updates on everything happening and just to get some fun Survivor related content as well. So that's at Serve Diversity. And if you search Survivor Diversity Campaign, it'll pop right up. But that's the one that I would definitely recommend following. That is so much great content on there. There's a fantastic team running the Survivor Diversity Campaign page. And with these new initiatives in place, which we hope are only get better as more seasons of Survivor come out, we're very excited to have this page continue going and to keep going strong. So that's at Serve, S-U-R-V, Diversity. Really recommend following that.
Such a great initiative. And I think the thing that's amazing, one thing I appreciate, like it every, not every day, because I'm not that plugged into it every single day, but like every week, I feel like I'm seeing different things from the Survivor Diversity Campaign on Twitter that are just like inserting very relevant and important opinions and takes. And so I'm a fan. Follow that stuff. And I don't know. Is there anything else you want to plug, Gia? Do you
just I guess I will say, just because new with David versus Goliath and which was the other season that was coming? Micronesia. Oh, both of those seasons are going on Netflix. So we're probably going to be getting a lot of content related to those seasons because we had a lot of great characters on there. So I would highly recommend following especially for that. And like keep an eye out for when we get our, I think it's coming up in a new few weeks. So
yeah, in the next couple of weeks.
It'll so
before Thanksgiving, I know it'll be up on Netflix.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Fridays from now or something. Yeah. But that we are talking a lot about Survivor 41 because that's the season that is airing right now. But we're going to have probably a big surge in Survivor Watchers soon. So if you haven't seen Survivor and you don't know where to start, I would definitely recommend taking a look at those seasons.
Yes, my best friend. I got my best friend into Survivor this year. I dragged her to Bryson Wynn Presents. And she's just watching Survivor. She's just started watching Survivor 41. So we text throughout the whole thing. She's like, what is happening? And I'm like, girl, I don't know. Like, none of us know. This is her first season she's watching. So can you imagine?
Yes. So
as soon as Micronesia comes out, I'm telling her to watch that.
Yes. Watch up to Final Four. That's it. The amount of people I've had come up to me that know, because, you know, like if you know me, you probably know I'm obsessed with Survivor. But when Heroes versus Villains was one of the first seasons to come out, I got a bunch of people like, I'm a Sandra fan now. Like, I get it. Or I'm a Survivor fan now. And I'm like, yes, I love to hear it.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. We don't do gate. We're big on here about talking about not gatekeeping for wrestling. Like, oh, you're not enough of a wrestling fan.
Yeah,
you're not
enough of a
Survivor fan. We are like the opposite. And so I will also say too, it's been cool to have like the Survivor fans I know come out of the woodwork. And like a lot of them really became those fans during the pandemic, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then because of Netflix. And so shout out to that. But look, you know where to find me and Mari if we have to podcast about Micronesia again or whatever.
Again.
But still. No. Thanks, Gia, for coming on. And I think this is the part where I do my plugs. So
yes, Matt.
I will plug myself now. My name is Matt Scott, and that was not autopilot. It's late.
I'm so tired.
Matt Scott GW on social media. Matt Scott GW, as in great wrestling. That's what GW should stand for. It doesn't stand for my alma mater, George Washington University. I would drag them, but this isn't the place. So GW, and you could find me, of course, here on the Wrestling Rehab Up with Mari. You could also, so Mari mentioned Bryson Wen Presents in DC, but I'm actually going to be at the next Bryson Wen Presents
in Philly.
Only come if you're nice on November 17th in Philly. And so tickets are available for that. It's a really great event. I'm sure there'll be lots of survivors in the house. Sari, who's part of the Black Widow Brigade and featured in Micronesia, is definitely gonna be, well, no, she wasn't there. She was at the DC one. I will
yeah,
not,
I got the meeting.
I'm not Cerise Booker. I cannot guarantee things. But speaking of Survivor, I'll be talking about Survivor on Patreon, on the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon. I'm doing the patron Q&A with the one, the only Rob Cesternino this coming Monday. So become a patron. It's a great time. It's the start of the month. You get all of the benefits, as Mari mentioned at the top of the show. And you'll also get to hear this smooth, but sometimes gravelly voice. After
one person said, told him he had a nice voice. And this is what it's been like.
Honestly,
so relatable.
If they're listening, shout out to them. I do really appreciate it. That's all I'll say. It's not weird at all. But yeah, Mari, what do you have to plug?
All right. So you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, the number two. You can also follow both of us on Stereo at Mari Talks Too Much and at Matt Scott GW for when we ever go live after the events. You can also find me every week on post-show recaps, recapping the fifth and final season of Insecure with the great LaTanya Starks and the meh Chappelle.
Leave Chappelle alone.
I really need to stop.
We'll drag him on Twitter later, but leave him alone.
We take so much shots at him. It's just fun. It is automatic now. But now I'm like, I hope his mental health is okay, which I'm sure it is. But yes, we are always talking Insecure every week. We normally come out on Tuesdays, but sometimes you might find us a little sooner, just like this week. We had a very special guest, baby boy himself, Bryce Isaiah, was on our podcast on Insecure.
I have my signed calendar. 2022 Zaddy.
Oh
calendar.
My God. I love
I would get the other so one sad. That's from this year pulled up. We could just flip through if you want the preview.
Oh, straight to Windows.
Bam. Game. Bam.
I can't tell who that was.
That's all you're getting for free.
Okay.
Here.
Oh, dang. All right. I guess we got to purchase if we want to see it.
You do.
Okay. Well, he was an amazing guest on our Insecure podcast. So go check us out on Post Show Recaps, the We Got Y'all Insecure podcast that I'm on there every week. So,
okay,
other than that, I What?
I have well, questions. What? I have to go. Well, one.
Oh, sorry.
One.
What are the questions?
Shout out to you. So wait, where could people, if you're like me and you want to watch Insecure, but you're like,
oh, okay.
How do you recommend people watch Insecure so they can catch up and listen to your smooth voice?
You can download the HBO Max app. It is available on HBO Max. I did not know they were.
That's the legal way to do it.
Yeah, I was like, that's the legal way to do it. I do not condone any other ways on recording. Okay. So, catch up there. Go listen to, we did a recap podcast, and there's been two episodes in the fifth and final season. So catch up with our last two podcasts. It has been so fun, and I just cannot believe I lucked up into this. I will be popping up on a few other podcasts next week, so stay tuned. Just follow me on Twitter to find out what messy ratchet stuff I will be talking about next week.
Not ratchet.
All right. And so, as always, you can please rate, review, subscribe at either RHAP Reality TV Rehab Ups or on our own personal podcast feed, the Wrestling Rehab Ups podcast feed. Please give us those 5 stars. Tell us how you like us. You know, push us forward so other people can find us. Again, you can send all your emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. And, of course, tweet us using hashtag Wrestling Rehab Ups.
Please. Do it. All right. Please. Please do all those things Mari just said. Hit the rewind thing back 15 seconds a couple times and listen back and do each of those things for us. We'd really appreciate it. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And back to you, Mari, in the studio.
So all I got to say is watch out for any flying elbows. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.